how are we going to really almost deprogram these people who have signed up for the cult of Trump?
Even if we were to have a resounding blue wave come through, as many of us would like, putting it all back together again after we've gone through this MAGA nightmare and re-educating, basically, which that sounds like a rather a re-education camp. I don't think we really want to call it that.
Newsom has signed 3 anti-free speech bills yesterday. One of them says if prosecutors decide, in their own opinion, that you were trying to deceive with a deep fake, and they use examples of things that are clearly jokes, that you will face many years in prison after they've signed laws that if you rape a child as young as 12, you get 2 days in county jail.
What's up, guys? It's your lovin' govern here to drop some knowledge about Prop 83. Prop 83 is a spending bill designed to make new investments in a freaking butt ton of underfunded sectors in our great state, like renewable energy. Cali leads the nation's solar power, which is rad. But what about lunar power? I believe the moon is capable of so much more than just controlling your Aunt Diane's ovulation cycle. Well, take it. Thank you. Let's put the moon to work for us. You know we crush it when it comes to whatever bra, drug laws. But Prop 83 hits different, allowing Californians to keep up to 7 ounces of hallucinogenic toad venom for personal use. Plus, 2 gallons of synthetic peyote and rando Guatemalan lab bought with crypto off the dark web. Busting.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, anybody can tell when something is AI. It can instantly, if people are confused, they can find the actual clip. They just want another way to convince everybody to go after free speech. And that ties into Hillary saying arrest people for disinformation. The UN and WHO have announced, along with the WEF, massive plans to start criminally charging people, which is already happening all over Europe and Australia, for their speech in Canada. That is a huge vital stack as the system goes openly, nakedly, communist Chinese style.
There has to be a responsibility that is placed on these social media sites to understand their power. They are directly speaking to millions and millions of people without any level of oversight or regulation. And that has to stop.
But I also think there are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda. And whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrence.
I don't feel at home with people who believe in censorship. I think it's disqualifying. It's antithetical and inconsistent with democracy. And we had Hillary Clinton yesterday making this extraordinary statement that endorsing this censorship of speech in our country. We have Kamala Harris saying that free speech is a privilege. It's not a right. And Tim Walz saying the same thing. And I think that that is disqualifying for anybody who wants to be president of the United States.
They've been brainwashed, Joy. I really believe that they have been brainwashed by this misinformation campaign.
So how do you de-radicalize these people?
Once we educate them, we coax them on how to interact and empower the person to start thinking for themselves.
I think a lot of people are going to have to be deprogrammed.
We had a program addressing white supremacists that we had programs, federal programs, that went towards funding organizations like these that de-radicalized people. And President Trump pulled the plug.
I mean, this is, on a scale of censorship, it's very high. I mean, this is just wild. But, I mean, when you're smuggling 325,000 admitted missing kids into physical slave labor and sex slavery, I mean, why not?
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
Supplement. supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD. Test it out. See how great it is. And then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
It's Tuesday, September 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday morning from Austin, Texas. On a very special day. This is a very special day. We got a lot to show you folks, but more important than that, it's my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. We got a lot of stuff to get into today. World War, obviously, the Middle East conflict continuing to spiral out of control, like the Tasmanian devil, and the war in Ukraine as well. Massive censorship news. Alex Jones did an event with Tucker Carlson yesterday. We've got some videos from that to show you. I think I'll be taking a whack at it today. I'm going to take on the smartest liberals on TikTok. I'm going to do it. We're going to watch the smartest libtards on TikTok and see if we can't combat their rhetorical genius with, simple facts and observations. A lot to discuss. We'll open up the phone lines for your calls and a very special guest later in the show. We'll be talking about anti-white discrimination and the various manifestations of this now legal racism. It's a very big show. Glad you're with us. We will open up the phone lines probably in the second hour for your calls, but let's begin today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. Short on crew today, folks. We got Matt running around like a chicken with his head cut off. All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Tuesday, the 24th. Of September 2024. U.S. sends more troops to Middle East as tensions rise between Israel and Hezbollah. The U.S. is sending a small number of additional troops to the Middle East in response to a sharp spike in violence between Israel and Hezbollah forces in Lebanon that has raised the risk of a greater regional war, the Pentagon said Monday. Major General Pat Ryder, Pentagon press secretary, would not say how many more forces would be deployed or what they would be tasked to do. The U.S. now has about 40,000 troops in the region. But don't worry. We heard during the presidential debate Kamala Harris say that there's not a single troop deployed in a war zone, except for those 40,000. Okay, other than those, not a single, and the boats, and all of the massive armadas that we have strategically positioned off the coast of Lebanon, as well as the Red Sea and off the coast of Yemen. But other than that, not a single troop there. And it is amazing to know that, like, our entire Navy right now is just in a holding pattern awaiting deployment in the Middle East for yet another Middle East war. And, gee, it's been like, 13 months since we got out of the last two-decade-long ridiculous boondoggle. So time to hop right into another one. Thanks, Israel. Whatever we can do for you. From disclosed.tv, U.S. lawmakers plan for a possible mass casualty event. A bipartisan group of four House members is advocating for a constitutional amendment allowing for the quick replacement of Congress members in the event of a mass casualty attack. Okay. Representative Derek Kilmer and Reps Brad Winstrup, Williams Timmons, and Emmanuel Cleaver II put forth a proposal to ensure that Congress can continue its work if a large number of members are killed in a mass attack. Which is just crazy. Which is just crazy. The proposal aims to ensure continuous representation and prevent violence from shifting political power. We've seen a 300% increase in threats against members over the last 7 years, noted Representative Derek Kilmer. The amendment would require House members to provide a list of potential replacements to their state's governor. Filling vacancies quickly would help maintain stability and deter political violence. However, passing such an amendment is challenging due to the need for a two-thirds congressional vote and state ratification. But hey, you know what? Leftists keep trying to kill our guys, so hey, maybe this isn't a bad idea. This is a little bit weird. Being like, why don't you send us a list of people who you'd want to replace you? You know, just in case anything ever happened. God forbid. God forbid anything ever happened. But just in case, who would you want to replace you? Okay, kind of freaky. Kind of incredibly freaky. We'll get back to that. Meanwhile, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky discusses victory plan he will present to Biden. It's a Good Morning America exclusive from ABC News, which of course is bearing the lead that Zelensky, a president of a foreign power for which we are not in an actual alliance by any means, is now campaigning in Pennsylvania for the Democratic Party. That's what's actually happening here. Zelensky says the plan aims to strengthen Ukraine to force Russia to negotiate, which they were willing to negotiate years ago. This is just all so unnecessary. And we'll play clips from his visit to the United States, the likes of Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro signing the bombs that will soon be flying through the air to blow up some poor Russian dude for the designs of the most despicable people in the world, like Victoria Nuland. Meanwhile, do I want to do that one next? Sort of going back to our first story. Lebanon, Israel, Hezbollah attacks, deadliest day in Lebanon since 2006, war in Gaza. Hours of traffic as thousands flee southern Lebanon, searching for safety. Lebanon's been thrown into chaos as Israel continues its attacks on what it says are Hezbollah positions in the northern, across its northern neighbor's territory. Footage shared on social media shows long lines of traffic as people have tried to flee to southern Lebanon, which has been subjected to an intense Israeli bombardment, more so than other parts of the country, towards the capital, Beirut. Traveling from southern Lebanon towards Beirut usually takes 90 minutes at most, but a massive traffic jam has stretched for 12 hours or more, according to several witnesses CNN spoke to. Desperate scenes could also be seen at the border crossing between Lebanon and Syria, as hundreds of vehicles were seen clogging up the roads on the Lebanese side. And then, of course, they are also bombing Beirut now, so escaping to Beirut, not exactly out of the fire quite yet. Again, we will get back to that, but they're doing to Lebanon what they already did to Gaza, and they're going to keep doing it until somebody stops them. Finally, we have this. Indiana taxpayers forced to fund sex change of imprisoned child murderer. Yeah, I thought I'd just tag this one on at the end just to remind you of the level of insanity we're dealing with. Now, phrased a little bit differently, I got no problem with this. Phrased maybe a little bit more honestly, and hey, this is not a bad thing. In other words, if this headline read, Indiana taxpayers forced to fund chemical castration of imprisoned child murderer, well, okay, now we're talking. Now we're talking punishment fit for the crime. But no, it doesn't have to do with castrating child murderers. It has to do with serving the mental illness of child murderers. In one of the most heinous outcomes of gender ideology, the state of Indiana has been ordered by a federal judge to cover the sex change surgeries for Jonathan C. Richardson, who's currently serving a 55-year prison sentence for strangling an 11-month-old baby to death. And if we can find images of this guy, he looks just about what you would expect him to look like. Yeah, I don't think I need to expand on this. Do I need to comment on this? Do I need to explain why us normal people find it weird that in current year we're paying for child murderers to have elective sex change surgery? So I guess they can then be in prison with the women. Yeah, there he is. There's the guy. There's the guy that American taxpayers are going to be spending probably millions of dollars just keeping alive for whatever reason. I think he should be hung by the neck until dead in public. Vote for me. Vote for me, the law and order candidate. I think if you are convicted of strangling an 11-year-old, not only do I think that you shouldn't have sex change surgery, I think you should be burned to ash in front of everyone. But then again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychiatrist. So, you know, what do I know? What do I know? That's your Daily Dispatch, folks. Brought to you, of course, by InfoWarsStore.com. Go today to InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air and in the fight. Fight for just everything good and normal and what used to be what everybody believed. I don't know if there's a catchy, I don't know if there's a good advertising motto for that, but just like shop at InfoWars so we can just stop these insane people. I don't know. Is that enough? Is that enough to support us just knowing that we are a beacon of sanity in a world gone mad? And on that note, actually, I think I want to go to a video of our fearless leader, Alex Jones, who took to a massive, sold-out, jam-packed stadium yesterday with Tucker Carlson to speak to the people of, I believe, Reading, Pennsylvania. Oh, maybe I didn't put the video in there. Shoot. All right, I'm going to have to pull in one of these videos because he gave a very powerful speech. And, of course, he did an interview with Tucker Carlson yesterday that is bombshell. Go to at Real Alex Jones on X to see that. I'll have to find a good clip of Alex Jones' speech last night. But lucky for you, I got lots of videos to go to. And we'll go to some others. We're talking a lot about politics today, obviously, and there's something happening here. There's a strange sort of synchronicity taking place. If you're a regular viewer of this show, you'll know that I, for a long time, been, yeah, here's Alex Jones getting to the stage, and look at that crowd. Just absolutely massive. And folks, if you've never been to one of these, I'm sure the ones with Alex Jones, I mean, I'm sure the ones with Tucker Carlson are very fun. I'm sure when he's got Jack Posobiec or Russell Brand up there, you're in for a great show. But if you've ever been to an event where you've got a room full of patriots when Alex Jones takes the stage, it's a different level of enthusiasm. It's truly wild. Like you think you've seen an audience at the height of frenzy, and then Alex Jones comes out and everybody loses their mind. It's a testament to not just Alex Jones staying the course, being a stalwart beacon for open-minded, free-thinking people, but also of the American people and their ability to see through the lies and disinformation in the mainstream media. So. It must have been a fantastic, it must have been an amazing event, and I encourage you to go see the next one, if there is going to be one. I don't know how many more Alex is doing, but certainly Tucker Carlson continues on the road. But let's get back to the synchronicity, the plot lines we're seeing play out over decades, what we can learn from some of this. If you're a regular viewer of the show, you may have heard me at one point or another allude to the fact that Michael Jackson was and always will be innocent of the crimes that he was accused of. And it's one of those things where it's like we talk about elite pedophile blackmail rings all the time on this show. And yet, one of the most prominent examples people would point to of being a Hollywood elite pop star pedophile, Michael Jackson, totally innocent. Totally innocent, actually, in my opinion, by my interpretation. And shout out to Razor Fist on YouTube. If you want to see a full breakdown of the Michael Jackson scandal, go check out Razor Fist. Just search Razor Fist, one word, Michael Jackson. He goes through all of the evidence with a fine-tooth comb to an incredible degree. And I'm saying all of this, like, what are you talking about, Harris? We got bombs dropping. Why are you talking about Michael Jackson? Well, I got to lay the groundwork so you understand that he was always innocent. It was always a smear job that the real Hollywood pedophiles blackmailed and lied about Michael Jackson in an attempt to destroy him, specifically because he was not one of them. He was not in their club, and he did not play their games. Therefore, he had to be destroyed. And you can ask Rabbi Shmuley all about that. And then this video cropped up from all the way back in, I guess, must have been the early 90s, when the accusations about Michael Jackson came up. And lo and behold, you had two people on either side of that conflict who are now running against each other for president of the United States. You had Kamala Harris on the prosecution team and Donald Trump being one of the only celebrities in America with the bravery and loyalty to support Michael Jackson against these smears. What a strange twist of fate in history. Let's go down to clip number 8. Here is a video clip from back in the 90s of both Kamala Harris and Donald Trump facing off over Michael Jackson's innocence. Let's watch.
That could mean life in prison. And cases like this can depend on the testimony of the child accuser.
In general, the child will be able to recall and recollect with some detail the incident, and that is persuasive to a jury, even if it is the only testimony that is available.
Jackson gave a wave when he was released after booking. He's scheduled for arraignment in January.
Michael's been a longtime resident of Trump Tower, and last night the Donald strongly reiterated his defense of Jackson with Larry King by going after the accuser's mother.
She's had plenty of experience at going after people, and she goes after them viciously and violently, and I saw a story and I read another story about some of the things she's done, and I don't believe it.
But you know what it's like when an indictment comes down.
It's tough.
It's presumption.
It's tough. It's tough to win, but I have a feeling he's going to win, Larry.
The interesting thing is I've known Michael from many different standpoints, and Michael would spend a lot of time with my kids. I have beautiful kids, and at the time, like at Mar-a-Lago and even in Trump Tower, the kids were very young. Michael would come, play with the kids. He just loved children. He was not a child molester, and I am certain of that. He loved children. He'd play with my son Eric and my son Donald, and he'd just play with them forever. He loved children, but he was not a child molester. And, you know, that whole final saga of Neverland and the police and what they did was, I think, a very, very bad part of Michael's life.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that something else? And, of course, it also brings to mind the fact that Donald Trump was not your average celebrity. Like, I'm seeing this online a little bit, and I'll probably get into it when we play some of the TikTok videos of liberals thinking that they're smart. Like, I saw, you know, Destiny say, hold on, pull that back up. Pull that last image. We got Michael Jackson, Donald Trump, and Osama bin Laden. What the hell is that? What is going on in the background there? All right, I got distracted. Sorry, got a little bit distracted there. What was I saying? So Kamala Harris in that video, you know, obviously on the wrong side of this argument over Michael Jackson. Oh, what I was saying was that you had people like Destiny being like, people are voting for Trump just because he's the you're fired guy from The Apprentice. Like, it's always this argument that's like, Donald Trump is this reality show star. Like, he just came out of nowhere. And it's like, you know, you can find news reports from 30 years ago where Donald Trump is like best friends with A-list actors. He's like going to lunch with the Pope and like advising, you know, international trade organizations. He's been a statesman. He's been a prominent A-list figure for literally decades on end. That's why I think it's so funny. People try to minimize his accomplishments, minimize his celebrity, for lack of a better word. I remember getting in an argument with a friend over Andrew Yang, and they're like, well, Trump's a businessman, and he's a businessman. It's like, no, Trump is the businessman. Trump is an American icon and has been for decades. And Andrew Yang, I guess, like, who knows what he did? Who even knows what Andrew Yang, he was a tech guy, I guess, for a little bit. He was a CEO of something, maybe somewhere. It's not exactly the same. Donald Trump didn't go on a reality show, and people know him from that. He had a reality show made about him because of his iconic and legendary status as a fixture of American pop culture. All that is to the side, but just it does remind you what an epic journey Donald Trump's life has been so far. But who else do you know that came out and forcefully defended Michael Jackson against these smears? This is the problem with these smears. This is the problem with the claims of, you know, child molestation, is even decent people that don't think it's true, they're not going to go out on a limb to defend you for it. Like, what Donald Trump just did there was a very brave thing, to be honest with you. Especially if the decision had gone another way. But of course, Michael Jackson was cleared of charges. Partly because of what Kamala Harris said during that video. This is the thing, all right? Before anybody knew who Kamala Harris was, she's giving interviews to TV stations justifying bringing a case, a criminal case, against a high-profile person, destroying their lives, essentially. And what is she saying specifically in that clip? She's justifying bringing a case where the only piece of evidence is the testimony of a little child. That's what I don't know if you heard what she was saying there. She's like, the testimony of a child can be very persuasive, you know, even if that's the only evidence that there is. Okay. So you're bringing a high-profile criminal case, destroying somebody's life, no matter how the case ends up, off of the basis of a six-year-old's testimony and nothing else. A highly coached toddler, you know, repeating a lie, and you are forcing a man to spend millions of dollars defending himself from accusations that he will never really live down and that will stain his legacy forever. But hey, a child said so. So what more evidence do you need, right? In a weird way, there's like this metaphysical synchronicity where it's like the bad people have always been bad, the good people have always been good, and they've clashed over the decades. And now the fate of America rests in the decision between one or the other, between the American legendary real estate tycoon maverick genius or the useful idiot that will destroy your life because a child told her you were mean once. Who would you rather be in charge?
Folks, Nerve Renew is in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and this supplement is amazing for a number of different reasons. First of all, we know that prescription opioids and pain relievers end up making us feel groggy, cloudy of mind, and frankly, addicted after time. But with Nerve Renew, we have key natural ingredients. It's a nerve support formula designed specifically for peripheral neuropathy and nerve pain relief. So if you need help relieving your aches and pains and inflammation, and maybe even some nerve nerve damage that you have from an injury or just working with your hands for years and years, Nerve Renew is the way to go. So by visiting InfoWarsStore.com and getting Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top of the website, not only are you investing in your own health, relieving your own pain in a natural, healthy, and safe way, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that InfoWars is under attack. Alex Jones is under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. But you can fight to keep InfoWars on the air. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
An InfoWars fan favorite is now back in stock after over a year of not being available. It is the vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. Now, this is a copy of Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize for his findings on vitamin C's formula. It is 1,000 milligrams of organic vitamin C with zinc to take it into the cells, and rose hips, he believed that supercharged it. This formula is amazing. We've not had it for over 12 months, and now it's available back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. It is simply incredible. What it does for your whole body, your immune system, is next level. So whether you're in super good health or not in good health, everybody benefits from this formula. It's back in stock, discounted at InfoWarsStore.com, vitamin C and zinc with rose hips at InfoWarsStore.com. And it funds the operation. So that's a win-win. Get your vitamin C with zinc, the Linus Pauling formula, at InfoWarsStore.com. Nitric Boost, Turmeric 95, high-quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultra Turmeric Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Body's, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the Middle East now. And, you know, I didn't grab this video either, but if we have my computer feed, we can just play it here. It's just a portion of a video just showing some of the literal giant, like, highways under mountains that Hezbollah operates. And just a little collection of videos that just shows, you know, 18-wheelers driving through, dirt bikes and other things rolling through this massive underground cave system. Just to let you know, just so that you're aware of the futility of bombing apartment buildings in Beirut to go after Hezbollah. just so we're clear, that similar to Gaza, but to an even greater degree, saturation aerial bombing of this area will not even remotely hinder, let alone totally destroy, Hezbollah. It's funny, I post this video and people are commenting underneath it going, this is a bullcrap, that's not true. And it's like, here's the video of the tunnel. What do you mean it's not true? What do you mean it's not true? It's, there are videos of the tunnel. They have giant tunnels under the mountain. What part of this is not true to you? So they want you to believe that the people that have this underground city under the mountains of Lebanon are keeping hypersonic missiles in living rooms throughout Beirut. Why? Why would they even do it? Like, what is the claim here? I just want to lay that out for you. So as we talk about everything going on in Lebanon, as we talk about the long-awaited, long-foretold direct conflict between Hezbollah and Israel, just know that their bombing cannot, will not ever actually be effective against this force. So why are they doing it, and what are they doing? Well, same thing they've been doing in Gaza for the same reasons. The attacks against Lebanon are the deadliest since 2006. Lebanon has been thrown into chaos as Israel continues its attack on what it says are Hezbollah positions across its northern neighbor's territory. Again, I want to highlight to you the how easy Israel's made it for us to know who's the bad guys and who aren't. You might be wondering, well, if you're just bombing an entire apartment building, how do you know they're all terrorists? And the answer is that Israel only bombs terrorists. So how do you know who's a terrorist? Well, who has Israel bombed? Those are your terrorists right there. Sort of answers its own question. So how can they be targeting innocents if everybody they target is a terrorist? Right? So don't be ridiculous. Of course they're only targeting terrorists, even little children terrorists. Footage shared on social media showed long lines of traffic as people tried to flee southern Lebanon, which has been subjected to intense Israeli bombing, more so than other parts of the country, towards the capital, Beirut, which of course then got bombed. Traveling from southern Lebanon to Beirut usually takes about 90 minutes at most, but with massive traffic jams that has stretched to 12 hours or more, desperate scenes could also be seen at a border crossing between Libya or between Lebanon and Syria, as hundreds of vehicles were seen clogging up the roads on the Lebanese side. It's just like yes, typical terrorist behavior, you know? It's those terrorists that are always fleeing in a mad panic from the bombs dropping. A typical terrorist activity, fleeing en masse, clogging highways as everybody tries to get away before they're vaporized. Classic terrorist maneuver, if you ask me. Who's the bad guy? Who's the bad guys here? Let's see. One population is fleeing for their lives. I think they might be the underdogs here. The Israeli military has carried out an airstrike in the southern suburbs of Beirut, according to the Israeli Defense Force and witnesses. The IDF described the attack as a targeted strike, promising more details at a later stage. Like, don't worry. The strike was targeted. Okay. Okay, great. So you didn't just close your eyes and fire. They use these terms. They use terms like targeted strike to make you think that the target was specific and, you know, definitely a bad guy. That's not what targeted means, though, is it? It just means it was aimed. Yes, folks, they did aim the missiles before they fired them, so don't worry. Oh, God. Okay. They described the attack as a targeted strike, promising more details at a later stage. Lebanese state news agency NNA said the strike had hit a five-story building in the Gobery neighborhood of Beirut's southern suburbs, destroying apartments on the fourth and fifth floors. A photo distributed by Hezbollah's media office showed the top two floors of a building destroyed by the Israeli strike. We actually have some videos of the strikes from yesterday, including a shocking event in which a news reporter a guest of a show called The Political Inc. The editor was in the Becca Valley. The editor-in-chief of the Mariah International Network, his name's Fadi Boudia. He was injured on air. Clip number 16. This was during some of the Israeli very highly targeted airstrikes. Yesterday, he was live when his apartment was hit. Let's watch.
والله انا هلا والله كنت على سكايب و...
So we're trying to connect to Skype here. So it don't look like any trouble. Ah! Ah! And there you go. Highly targeted strike, folks. On the media personality. Many children still missing under the rubble in Lebanon, UNICEF warns. Many children remain missing under the rubble and caught on dangerous roads after Israeli airstrikes in Lebanon, the UN Children's Agency warned. As the country suffered its deadliest day since 2006, more children were killed in Lebanon in one day on Monday than in the entire past year, Eddie Higgins, UNICEF deputy representative for Lebanon, told a UN briefing Tuesday. UNICEF has received reports that many Lebanese children slept in cars and on the side of roads on Monday night after thousands of families were displaced from their homes in southern Lebanon, Higgins said. Hey, but all Lebanon has to do is return the hostages, right? No, if they would just return the hostages, then this would all stop. Or whatever, you know, whatever excuse they need. It's just like, so why are you still bombing Gaza? And it's like, well, they could just give the hostages back. Okay, so why are you bombing Lebanon? Ah, shoot. Well, they're all terrorists. I guess they're all terrorists. It's like they'll use an excuse if they have one. If not, F you, we're doing it anyway, right? We don't need an excuse. It's convenient if we have one, but if not, we'll just do it anyway. The Israeli military has vowed to speed up the offensive operations after it launched extensive airstrikes targeting the militant group Hezbollah in Lebanon. Hezbollah must not be given a reprieve, says Herzi Halevi, chief of the general staff. That's what he said, according to IDF statement. Keep working with full force. We will speed up the offensive operations today and tighten all the formations. The situation requires continued vigorous action in all arenas. I don't mean to laugh. I don't mean to laugh. At least 558 people have been killed, including 50 children and 94 women, by Israeli strikes on Lebanon on Monday, country's health minister. Yeah. Yeah, I don't mean to laugh, but there is something gravely comical about the Israeli military being all super serious while they are just killing hundreds of children. Like, we must not let up. They must not be given a reprieve. We must continue the pressure. And they're just a nursery with school, you know. Meanwhile, Hezbollah chilling under a mountain in tunnels that have been rated as being able to survive a nuclear blast. So the airstrikes are going to do nothing, just like they did nothing in Gaza, because obviously this is just physics. You can't hit tunnels under the ground with airstrikes, okay? That's just it's not how it works. So when they're doing airstrike after airstrike after airstrike against an enemy that is ensconced under several tons of mountain rock, they're not actually going after the guys in the mountain. They're it's a terror campaign, and they're bombing civilians on purpose and by design. But don't worry, folks. Don't worry. It doesn't matter the mess Israel gets itself into, because it's sort of a win-win situation. Either they get to go completely insane, kill everybody, ethnically cleanse the entire area of greater Israel to create their one world government capital, or they get a lot of backlash. They start coming under concerted attack by all of their neighbors, in which case America will rush in to rescue them. So that's nice. That really is nice of for them. U.S. sends more troops to Middle East as tensions rise between Israel and Hezbollah. The U.S. is sending a small number of additional troops to Middle East in response to a sharp spike in violence between Israel and Hezbollah forces in Lebanon that has raised the risk of greater regional war, the Pentagon said Monday. General Pat Ryder. So they would not know how many more forces would be deployed or what they would be tasked to do. The U.S. now has about 40,000 troops in the region. None on our southern border, I'll have you note. 40,000 men deployed full-time in the Middle East while we are being actively invaded by hundreds of thousands of foreign psychopaths that are eating our cats. But that's what America's for, isn't it? America is here to serve the interests of Israel in the Middle East with our money, influence, good name, and yes, even the blood of our sons, because why should we defend ourselves when we have such great allies? Smoke billows from the site of an Israeli airstrike on the outskirts of the southern village of Habuch, Lebanon. Israel launched an intensive barrage of airstrikes across swaths of Lebanon on Monday in what was the deadliest day for the country since at least 2006, the war fought between Israel and the powerful Iran-backed militant group Hezbollah. Terror and despair gripped Lebanese residents as Israeli bombed more than 500 people, including women and children, and wounded more than 1,800 others, authorities said, as residents fled their homes desperate to reach safety. Can I make something clear as we continue to talk about this? Still to this day, and with a aggressiveness that just baffles through the reasonable mind, I get called a Nazi for talking about Israel. I don't know how to say it other than just to directly state to you people, you're not a Nazi for opposing the modern state of Israel and its current day actions that are reprehensible and horrifying. Okay, so I'm not going to argue with you about it. I'm just going to say this to you. You need to stop. You need to stop, and you're making everything worse for yourselves. And your own government, by the way, if you're Israeli, is going to get you killed. So that's not a good thing. I actually don't want you to die because I'm not actually a Nazi. And if I was a Nazi, that says I'd be way better at it. Are you kidding? I would be the best. I would be the most pro-Israel person ever. Like, if I was a Nazi, if I was, like, in favor of, like, ethnic supremacy, if I was in favor of, like, genociding people, if I was in favor of, rewriting history to your own benefit and forcing everybody in your country to engage in a pointless and self-destructive war, you know, if I was into Nazi things, I'd be the biggest Israel fanboy you'd ever seen. I'd be all for it. We did a thorough breakdown of this yesterday with John from Lebanon. If you haven't seen that, go check it out at band.video. Because I don't think anything has changed really between yesterday and today in terms of what comes next and what is happening. There are some somewhat disturbing, you know, corresponding sort of events going on. For one thing, the U.S. Army has apparently, as of yesterday, announced that they are dropping their diversity requirements for officer training. Which, again, is a little bit disturbing. I guess when we're in peacetime, everything's going well, then they feel free to discriminate against white men, Christians, keep them out of positions of power. But when it really matters, when they think that the army might be useful for something that other than gay propaganda, and you actually want people to fight and die for you, suddenly white men are welcomed again. I don't think anyone's going to fall for it, though. And I I genuinely don't know how these countries, like the UK and the US, that are actually talking, like the UK is openly talking about bringing back a draft, forced conscription of their men. I don't know how they think that's going to work exactly. You've spent the last decade making it abundantly clear that our government doesn't just hate us, but sort of exists for the sole purpose and intention of destroying us. I mean, that's what's been made abundantly clear. Like, sure, they might do some other stuff, but we know now. We have been told in no uncertain terms that the purpose of the entire government's function is to systematically not just eradicate white men, white people, white families, white Christians as a demographic through forced invasion, through just suppression, through just mockery and, you know, a variety of other psychological operations going on. But like physically and by design. And so you think that we're going to fight for you now? That's just crazy. Why would anybody do that? That's just not going to happen. So they're going to be in a lot of trouble. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I do want them to try. I do want them to enact the draft. I really do think that would be very clear delineation. It would be a very important crossroads for Americans to ask themselves, do I want to fight for the people who despise and are destroying me? Or do I want to fight against those people because I have to fight? Because they're drafting me, so I'm going to have to put my life on the line either for the people who openly try to destroy me, or perhaps I will fight against them. We'll actually get back to that a little bit later as we'll talk about some of the diversity requirements, not just the military, but the academia as well. 40,000 already in the region, and that includes massive deployments of ships just completely surrounding Israel, which again seems to be what our military is for at this point. That is its purpose. There's somebody at one point on X saying, you know, like, this is dangerous. There's no American aircraft carriers anywhere in the Pacific. This hasn't happened since World War II. What could this be? Why would this be happening? And you show a map of where all of the naval assets of America are deployed, and they're just making a ring around Israel. And just, does it ever strike you? Does it ever just like hit you how far off from normal we are? You know what I mean? Like, if you were to tell me that the American naval assets were deployed worldwide, yeah, okay, we got lots of interests all over the place. You were to tell me that they're surrounding in a ring the American continent, I'd say, yeah, well, that's what they're for. It's our Navy. They're there to defend us. Why is it that our Navy and our entire military, for that matter, seems to be deployed around the world only, solely, like for the one intent and purpose of protecting Israel? I mean, look at this. U.S. Abraham Lincoln Carrier Strike Group, USS McCain, the Daniel NQ, the Michael Murphy, the USS Russell, the Roosevelt Carrier Strike Group, all of those in the Persian Gulf and the Red Sea. You've got the USS Cole. And off the Mediterranean coast, off the coast of Israel and Lebanon, you've got the USS Roosevelt, the USS Georgia, the USS Arleigh Burke, the WASP Amphibious Ready Group, the USS Berkeley. And this isn't even mentioning the, you know, clandestine assets that we have deployed throughout the region as well, and the 40,000 troops that we have on the ground in that area. Meanwhile, our border, totally wide open. Five assassin teams trying to take out Donald Trump, apparently. Just all-out invasion. Apparently the Haitians in Springfield, Ohio, are now creating heavily armed militia groups and marching through the streets. In a literal takeover of our country, while our entire military is deployed in the Middle East to deal with a situation that our ally Israel is solely responsible for creating, expanding, exacerbating. It all seems a little bit nonsensical to me, personally. Call me a Nazi if you want. Call me a Nazi if you want. It is a modern nation state, and I get to criticize the actions of the governments of modern sovereign nation states. Go cry me a river. And nothing about it, to me, reflects on the Jewish people until you make a statement like that. I'll give you a little. I'm toying around with some ideas for a new pitch meeting, a new pitch meeting thing. It's kind of hard to make the whole situation really funny, but I did write an exchange yesterday that, you know, the one guy would say, 40 babies were baked in an oven. The guy, what, really? First guy, well, how dare you? How dare you ask that question? What, do you question the Holocaust too? First guy like, no, should I? I mean, the lies you're coming out with today, I don't know, they kind of have me questioning everything now. I didn't really think it was something, you know, intrinsic. I was criticizing Israel like I'm criticizing, like criticize America or criticize the UK or criticize any other government made out of immortal human beings. But for some reason, you're calling me a Nazi and telling me I'm not allowed to, which means you're in favor of what's going on. Why are you defending the bombing of children? What exactly is going on here? And what questions am I not asking that maybe I should be? It's very strange. It's very odd. You're lucky that I don't actually fall for this crap. U.S. seeks to prevent Israel-Hezbollah escalation, State Department official says. The U.S. does not support the escalation between Israel and Hezbollah across the border, a senior State Department official says, adding that Washington was going to discuss concrete ideas with allies and partners to prevent the war from broadening. We are going to continue to send them $1 billion of weapons, the weaponry that is necessary to carry out this attack, but we're against it. We're very against it. Yeah, it goes on. It goes on and on. It's like we're a true crime show covering a serial killer. He just keeps killing. Or just like it's that guy. It's Bob Smith. Right there. He's going to kill again. Look, he's doing it. He's killing again. Never gets arrested. And we just keep reporting.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I only encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us. And that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
Finally, Vitamin Mineral Fusion is back in stock and now available for 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com. This specially formulated drink mix gives your body the essential vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and other beneficial compounds that support optimum health. Vitamin Mineral Fusion goes above and beyond the standard of vitamins and trace minerals.
Our exclusive formula is loaded with 34 key ingredients, including vitamin C, E, D, B12, calcium, magnesium, zinc, selenium, L-glutamine, CoQ10, alpha-lipoic acid, folic acid riboflavin, and much more. Aside from bolstering your bodily functions, this drink mix is naturally delicious. And unlike capsules and vitamin pills, it's truly a pleasure to the taste buds. So if you haven't already, mix it up and take your health to the next level with Vitamin Mineral Fusion today. Now 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
It's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
I have a strong feeling of hope, and I'm not afraid at all. I don't know why. Because I think victory is coming, and by victory, I mean specifically the victory of the human spirit over the machine, which is trying to crush it, which is anti-human and non-human, I would say. But I'm not afraid for some reason. I'm not exactly sure why. It's not like I'm so rich or something that I'm not afraid. I'm not. But I'm not afraid because I feel on some deep animal level that these people just aren't going to win. I just keep going back to what I believe, and that is that I have two duties, that we all have two duties. And the first is to fight as hard as we can, nonviolently, for what we think is true, tell the truth, inspire others to tell the truth, be brave. Okay, that's our first duty. And our second duty is to be hopeful. Faith, hope, and love. Like, we're required to be hopeful.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com/show and share the link today.
With only 43 days, that's 1,000 hours, to the most important election in world history. I know it's a cliche, but it's really happening now. Everybody can feel it and see it. We're with America's favorite populist journalist, Tucker Carlson. Tucker.
Alex Jones, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Well,
in your hotel suite here in whatever city we're in Pennsylvania.
At a secret location. I saw him in the restaurant, ran over and stalked him and said, you got to come up before you go to your big event tonight. He said, sure, I'll give you a few minutes. So, Tucker, wow, a lot of serious stuff going on. You want to kind of repeat what you were just saying before we started taping here? For pretty powerful
stuff.
Well,
first of all, it's not my event. It's your event tonight. I'm interviewing you, and I can't wait. In Reading, Pennsylvania. But no, I was just saying, we're just discussing the news, and you know, you can feel that evil is on the march, actually, and we don't have the benefit of straightforward behavior. So it's not like they're, you know, wearing tunics and jackboots and marching down our streets of our village. But they are on the march, and they're crushing people, throwing people we know into prison, torturing them into compliance. And I was just saying, we're saying, oh, what's going to happen in the election? We're talking about it off camera. And of course, I don't know. I'm always wrong in my predictions, but I have a strong feeling of hope, and I'm not afraid at all. I don't know why. Because I think victory is coming. And by victory, I mean specifically the victory of the human spirit over the machine, which is trying to crush it, which is anti-human and non-human, I would say. But I'm not afraid for some reason. I'm not exactly sure why. It's not like I'm so rich or something that I'm not afraid. I'm not. But I'm not afraid because I feel on some deep animal level that these people just aren't going to win. I mean, there may be short-term victories. I don't know. But there will be no long-term victories for these people.
I totally agree. I mean, the awakening I'm seeing and the desperation. And Biden today saying, I'm not allowed to have little girls on stage with me, but I still do. I mean, fiction could not be this creepy. Kamala Harris, never knowing what planet she's on, and then just all the fabulous corruption and all the, in Europe, arresting people for speech, and then Hillary saying we're going to arrest Americans for speech and passing laws in California to do it. This is not the stuff of a group that's confident and in power, is it, Tucker?
Well, I just saw a photograph of Josh Shapiro, who's the governor of Pennsylvania, who's evil, I'm not saying that lately, with Zelensky, who was campaigning for Kamala Harris and Democrats, using U.S. military aircraft to get around, using our tax dollars.
Here in Pennsylvania right now.
He's campaigning right now in the key swing state today as we speak. And I saw Josh Shapiro signing artillery shells with his name. They're going to kill Russians in a war that we have not declared against Russia. We'll kill civilians. And I thought, evil is just open. Can you imagine signing an artillery shell that's going to be used to kill civilians in a war that you're not even in?
When it's the biggest nuclear power in the world, what'd you make of Biden going, yeah, we don't want the blame, but go ahead and use the storm shadows? When is that going to happen? Russia says that'll be a declaration of war.
No, but just the bloodlust and just the delight they take in killing. And in blood,
the delight they take in killing, the threat of nuclear war. That is the latest interview between Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones. Find it on Bandai Video and Infowars.com. Tucker Carlson says, we are playing with fire, and we'll get into that on the other side, exactly what Russia is warning its people of and warning us about as well. Stay with us, folks. It's the American Journal, Infowars.com.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. World War III, we're pretty much on the cusp of all-out war, and I think I have a couple facets, a couple angles to this that you might not find anywhere else. I'm trying to find, there's this Axios article, and maybe they changed the article, or maybe they took it out. But there was a quote from this Axios article that was, this escalation between Israel and Lebanon was in fact a de-escalation. We're escalating in hopes that it will de-escalate it. And it's just like, well, are you trying to be Orwellian, or is it just an accident? But maybe they changed it. That might have been a little bit too on the nose for them. Yes, apparently the escalation is just a roundabout way to de-escalate, you see. You must understand how sophisticated these people are. The Economist. A new quartet of chaos threatens America. The rulers of China, Iran, North Korea, and Russia are growing worryingly close. And, you know, as I'm thinking about this, part of me wants to say, you know, despite all of their warnings, their false claims, their fear-mongering about Donald Trump starting World War III, it's Joe Biden who, in a very real way, started World War III. But then I want to stop myself and remind myself that Joe Biden's not doing anything. Is Joe Biden even president right now? Who is, you know, signing for the deployment of more troops in the Middle East? Who is determining our geopolitical stance? Who is in charge of our country as we careen towards conflict with our potentially more powerful foes, Russia and China and Iran? Is it Jill Biden? Is Jill leading us down the primrose path to total destruction? Who do we have to thank for this? Is it Anthony Blinken? Is it Ron Klain? Is it Victoria Nuland? I don't think it's Joe Biden. I think Joe Biden's been laying on a beach. He is all but retired. He is tapped out. And yet, we're deploying troops to war zones. We are assuring Israel that we have their backs as they start a second front in their genocidal war. Who's making these decisions? Because I'd love to vote them out of office, but it's kind of hard to do that when the people making the decisions aren't actually the people that we vote for. And the people that we vote for are lying on the beach like a squid. Kind of hard to feel like this is for the sake of our democracy when the just bare minimum effect of the people on the government has been removed from us. And we can't even vote on the chief executive, let alone the gigantic contingent of permanent bureaucrats that are actually setting policy. So I'd love to have some sort of democratic way to oppose and change the course of our government. But that really is what we're losing here. It's being stolen from us by the people who continually invoke democracy to achieve their ends. So great. So that's great. But here's some things that you might not know about and that I think all contribute to this. For one thing, I've been hearing rumors from sources that America is getting ready to invade Venezuela. And I thought I would just search that, just see if there'd been any published rumors about it. And it's weird because the first fact check you get is a fact check from a couple days ago saying, no, America has not invaded Venezuela. Is that type of thing you need fact checked? An invasion? Seems kind of weird. Why would they want to invade Venezuela? What would be the point of that? Well, obviously, Maduro is not exactly friends with our government. He's a socialist, communist, right? They nationalized all of the oil and basically destroyed that country. But why would we even have to invade? I mean, typically, when America wants to get involved in Central or South America, we have ways of making it happen. We have ways of carrying out coups, of supporting dissident militant groups to overthrow a government. An American invasion would be an act of desperation. Why would we do that sort of thing? Why now? You know, we just confiscated Nicolas Maduro's plane, I guess, as if some sort of preliminary to open conflict with them. But do you know that there's something a little bit different about Venezuela than the rest of the South American countries? There's something that makes them a little bit more difficult to infiltrate and overthrow. Do you know that the Venezuelan military and state police were actually trained by Hezbollah? Iran, Hezbollah, multifaceted threat to Latin America. This story from DialagoAmericas.com. The presence and activities of Iran and Hezbollah in Latin America are deeply concerning due to their multifaceted operations in the region, as well as their strategies, objectives, and implications for regional and global security. Mexican lawyer and writer who specializes in the geopolitical dynamics of the Middle East, Ilan Eichner, said in a June op-ed for the Times of Israel. Hezbollah's priorities in Latin America are closely linked to Iran's geopolitical interests. Prominent among these is to generate income through illicit activities such as drug trafficking, smuggling, and money laundering, with the aim of obtaining essential resources to maintain its operations in the Middle East and, as such, reduce Iran's financial dependence. Eichner told Dialogo on August 19th, Hezbollah engages in intelligence networking and operations in the region, creating logistics and operational support structures which can be woken up to execute terrorist actions when and if they need them. They conduct many of their illicit activities in South America's triple borders. The first, the triple frontier between Argentina, Brazil, and Paraguay, with its neutral center in Ciudad del Este. The second is in the Andean triple border, made up of Chile, Peru, and Bolivia. The third is the maritime border between Colón, Panama, Maicao, Colombia, and Punto Fijo, Venezuela. In addition, Hezbollah resorts to networks of trafficking and smuggling of goods, networks, and illicit substance, with the tri-border region being the key strategic point of these operations. The profits made in these areas are integrated into the formal Iranian economy through their front companies. And you also have Hezbollah and the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps training and helping the Venezuelan paramilitary. Iran's role in supplying military equipment and Hezbollah's role in training Venezuelan paramilitary colectivos shows how both actors working together to prop up an authoritarian regime by repressing their own citizens and threatening their neighbors, particularly in the case of Venezuela's ongoing provocations towards Guyana. So you might not have known that. You might not recognize why Venezuela is a little bit different than America's behavior towards Southern or Central American countries in the past. Part of that has to do with the fact that they are armed and trained by Iran and Hezbollah. So just know, as this world war gets kicked off over this conflict, the tentacles reach absolutely everywhere, including into our own country, with the totally open borders and the millions of people crossing over unimpeded on a yearly basis. Now, this post, I don't know what to make of it, to be honest with you. It says, Russian electric bills added instructions to follow in case of nuclear strikes against Russia. But I don't know if this is true, because you've got the Russian language here. But then this is a Canadian thing, or maybe this is just a watermark for the people that posted this, and it's a translation. Again, I haven't been able to confirm this, and it just looks crazy because they're doing these sort of automatic translation effect that, you know, Google and stuff does. But what it says, so supposedly, allegedly, this was distributed to customers of the Russian, you know, energy company. The civil defense signal, attention everyone, accompanied by the inclusion of sirens and loudspeakers, followed by emergency information, warns the population about the immediate danger and the need to take action. The procedure for the actions of the population on the signal, attention to all. So when you hear that call from loudspeakers, you're supposed to turn on the TV, radio, and other available sources of information. Listen or read the message about the current situation and procedure for action. Use information received only from official sources. Bring the received information to relatives and neighbors. They may not have heard the signal. Turn off the lights. Cover the gas walls. Act in accordance with the received message. Procedure for the actions of the population in case of radiation or chemical danger. Close windows, doors, and seal them with improvised means. Seal the ventilation hatches, grills. Wear personal protective equipment, gas mask or respirator. In their absence, use the simplest respirator protection products. Yes, wear your masks, folks. Stay inside, turn on the TV, radio, and do not turn it off until you receive information about the shooting and the procedure for further actions. When receiving information about the lights out, ventilate the room, be ready for possible repetition of the civil defense signal, attention everyone. So supposedly, Russia is handing out pamphlets to their citizens with instructions on what to do in the case of a nuclear attack, signaling once again the seriousness with which Russia is treating the conflict with NATO. A seriousness that the people in NATO seem happily ignorant of. And all of this from The Economist, a new quartet of chaos threatening America, to this story, UN General Assembly, Biden expected to deliver his final speech as conflicts loom. It all points to the simultaneous collapse around the world of peace and the deliberate creation of the conditions to bring about World War III, to advance the depopulation programs, to reorganize the economy, to make the COVID measures taken look like nothing in comparison. And remember the glee with which they were willing to take this mysterious, terrifying new illness and use it to get you to contact trace or to fire you from your job or transmute the anger and anxiety people were feeling into just the rabid panic that we saw, the way that they filled up skate parks with dirt to stop people from playing outside, roping off beaches and playgrounds, shutting down churches and people singing, literally making laws against singing in church specifically, while strip clubs, weed stores, and Gavin Newsom's favorite restaurant were allowed to operate continuously. Remember the glee and aggressiveness and just the orgy of advantage taken as a consequence of the COVID scheme, which at the end of the day didn't really even exist outside of the media. In other words, if they hadn't talked about it, they had made a big deal out of it, likely what would have happened was COVID would have swept through everybody. Everybody would have gotten the flu that year, and then we would have gone on as normal. And that's it. Imagine how much more intense it'll be if a nuclear bomb goes off. Imagine how much more they'll be able to totally reorganize, reimagine, and reform the entire economic system, the entire health system, the entire education system. I mean, the war is what gives them the ability to make these sweeping fiat changes. They did in the First World War, they did in the Second, and now they're doing it in the Third, and that is the point of all of it. But I wonder if you have heard about the looming shutdown of ports around the country. This is something that's not being reported on purpose by design. The media is complicit in the cover-up of this story. I got to let you know, and I have to let you know, to be prepared and to be stocked up. A perfect storm. Supply chains brace for looming strike at U.S. ports. This is one of the only stories I can find about this major story, and it comes from supplychainbrain.com. How many people do you know are checking the supply chain newsletter? How many people are so enthralled with the thrilling dramatics of the supply chain to like regularly visit this website? No offense. I'm sure people are really into the supply chain. It's a very important thing. But shouldn't this be on mainstream media? Shouldn't this be on ABC or CBS or CNN? Shouldn't you know that there is a massive looming nationwide shutdown of basically all of our ports and all of our shipping? But no, you have to go to the supply chain specific website to find this, or Infowars.com, because we tell you these things. The U.S. is barreling towards a strike at East and Gulf Coast ports ahead of a looming October 1st deadline for the International Longshoremen's Association and U.S. Maritime Alliance to reach a new collective bargaining agreement. Negotiations between the ILA and USMX stalled out in June after the union recognized that an automated gate system was being used at a handful of ports. The ILA has refused to return to the bargaining table until the issue is resolved, leaving both parties in a holding pattern as the clock ticks on averting the union's first large-scale strike since 1977. Impacts on the potential strike would also be magnified by the ongoing issues in the Red Sea and Panama Canal, said Mike DeAngelis, the Senior Director of International Solutions for Freight Visibility Platform 4Kites. We're facing a perfect storm with the Red Sea disruptions preventing normal access to the Suez Canal and the Panama Canal still reduced capacity. An ILA strike would effectively choke off major arteries of global trade. Again, this also has to do with the conflict in the Middle East, with the Houthis shutting down essentially the Suez Canal. So the Suez Canal is shut down. The Panama Canal is in reduced volume. And now because of this obscure contention about automated gates. They're potentially going to shut down for a significant period of time. And as this story reports, if these ports shut down for any significant amount of time, the U.S. could find itself buried under inventory shortage, higher cost at grocery stores, and months-long backlogs at shipping hubs. Supply chain data service Sea Intelligence estimated it would take 5 days to clear container backlogs at East and Gulf Coast ports in the events of a one-day strike. If a work stoppage drags on for a week, those backlogs would not be cleared until mid-November, while a two-week strike would push that timeline even further to early 2025. So again, nobody else is reporting on this. I really can't find a lot of reports. I guess the New York Times finally reported on this. I guess it's from today. A looming East Coast port strike could shake the economy. But this is the first I've heard about it, and it's been known about for quite a while. And they're saying they're going to divert them to the West Coast, but I don't know how feasible that is. A strike could cost the economy $5 billion a day, or about 6% of GDP, expressed daily, for each day the ports are shut down. It would take roughly 6 days to clear the backlog. So if they shut down for 1 day, it takes 5 days to clear that backlog. If they shut down for a week, it takes a couple months. If they shut down for 2 weeks, that backlog will not be cleared until 2025. So what do you need to take away from this? Stock up, folks. Stock up. There is a very distinct possibility that as of October 1st, there will be a huge amount of difficulty in getting basic goods. Let's go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Get your emergency survival foods. Amongst all the other survival material that we have at InfoWarsStore.com, keep us on the air, of course. This type of thing, I mean, that's less than a week away, October. It's about a week exactly. So 1 week from today, it is not unlikely that the ports all along the East Coast and the Gulf Coast will be shut down completely for at least a day, meaning you're at least a week. You're going to be a week behind on deliveries. This will have cascading effects, of course. As the longer it's shut down, the more time it takes to clear the backlog, the more foodstuffs will be spoiled by that time. And so far, I found one story this morning buried down in the New York Times as a, you know, specific economy article about union negotiations. Now, this is a big deal. It's a big deal. Here's where it might be an even bigger deal. And maybe I'm totally wrong about this. Maybe my source is totally wrong about this. But the same person that told me that America would be staging an invasion of Venezuela in 2 weeks. So we'll see. You know, we'll check back in 2 weeks if that's correct or not. They also insinuated that this port shutdown is less about union negotiations and more about the military takeover of ports as we prepare for a full-fledged and widespread war against a variety of allied powers. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the people at the top really are trying desperately to de-escalate between Israel and her neighbors. Maybe they're working tirelessly behind the scenes to create a, what does Zelensky call it, victory plan to negotiate with President Putin. Maybe the unions are just at loggerheads with the government officials and they're trying their best to come to an amicable agreement. Or maybe, just maybe, everything is being put into place to launch an all-out third world war, cancel the election, shut down, totally reorganize the economy, and accelerate the depopulation program with the convenient turbo boost of nuclear annihilation. It's one of those.
At InfoWarsMD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWarsMD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
Folks, Nerve Renew is in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and this supplement is amazing for a number of different reasons. First of all, we know that prescription opioids and pain relievers end up making us feel groggy, cloudy of mind, and frankly, addicted after time. But with Nerve Renew, we have key natural ingredients. It's a nerve support formula designed specifically for peripheral neuropathy and nerve pain relief. So if you need help relieving your aches and pains and inflammation and maybe even some nerve damage that you have from an injury or just working with your hands for years and years, Nerve Renew is the way to go. So by visiting InfoWarsStore.com and getting Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top of the website, not only are you investing in your own health, relieving your own pain in a natural, healthy, and safe way, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that InfoWars is under attack. Alex Jones is under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. But you can fight to keep InfoWars on the air. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
First of all, we want to avoid the middle of the grocery store and stick to whole foods, real food. But these days, even the real food is short of its nutrient potential. And this is why it's important to take a vitamin mineral supplement every day. According to studies, regular multivitamin mineral supplement use reduces the risk of cancer and cardiovascular disease. Perhaps supplements aren't important to you, but in today's upside-down world, a daily vitamin mineral supplement is a must, and we have one of the best. Support your health and support the InfoWar. Get your vitamin mineral fusion today at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back. We still have a lot more to cover. We got a guest in the third hour as well. Let me just put a bow here on the story we were just covering. I saw some people on X commenting that apparently mainstream media has been covering this. I haven't seen anything about it. I have not seen it treated with the intensity it deserves, and it's been going on for a while. We have a clip here. I guess Fox News did a piece on this this morning. Here's just a quick clip of Fox News discussing this.
entangled up in a potential strike if one were to happen. One analyst telling Fox Business those vessels have no good options left. If a strike happens, those vessels en route now will likely be forced to wait offshore for the ports to reopen.
So they're covering it, and as Bursa on Twitter noted, usually in the business section, here's what I know from somebody in the union itself. They say, just want to give everyone a heads up on everything going on since the media has barely brought it to public, since they don't want the nation going into a panic. On October 1st, our international contract expires and all LIA and dock workers unions will be going on strike worldwide if USMX doesn't sign our contract by then. All container shipping worldwide will be at a standstill until they sign it. The only person that can force us back to work is Biden by using the Taft-Hartley Act to force us back to work for 90 days, but he's announced he's not stepping in and getting involved since the election is in November, and he thinks it would be a way to pull in unions to vote for the Democratic Party, even though a lot of people aren't voting for them still. Basically, make sure everyone goes and stocks up on household essentials that you need early, because it will get really bad really quick when they have to fully announce everything to the public nationwide. So, heed the warning or not, it's up to you. But according to people in the union, the contract's probably not going to be signed. The Biden administration is not going to do anything to stop it. And when the bottleneck happens, it won't just be East Coast ports diverting to the West Coast. It'll be worldwide shipping shutdown. Kind of like what we saw during COVID, ironically enough. Or typically enough. We'll continue to talk about just the worldwide ridiculous conflicts right now. We just saw that Russia supposedly is sending out flyers to the customers of the state energy company with warnings saying, in case of a nuclear attack or a chemical attack, here are the procedures you should follow. And here's what you should do. Extremely troubling. At the same time, they're releasing videos on official Russian state media. Like this one, Russian media publishes a simulation of a nuclear strike on the British capital, London, showing just how many people would be evaporated instantaneously. Clip number 10, here is an animation, a warning, a preview from Russian state media about the effects of a thermobaric bomb on the city of London.
Yes, and we're also following breaking news this morning. Just moments ago, the FBI released a new report showing the national crime rate decreased in 2023.
Upon detonation, a fireball as hot as the sun rapidly expands, reaching a radius of 950 meters. Anything trapped inside this fireball is instantly vaporized. In our simulation, the epicenter of the explosion is at Westminster. People within that radius won't even feel anything because the nerve impulse transmission speed is slower. Within 5 kilometers of the epicenter, the blast radius. City of London, Camden Town, Kensington, Brixton. These areas will receive the most destruction. Buildings will be destroyed and debris will fill the streets, creating extremely dangerous conditions for everyone in the vicinity. Given the population density in central London, the initial death toll could exceed 250,000 people and around 600,000 injured. Within a radius of 10 kilometers, the radiation will cause third-degree burns. Within that radius, anything that can burn will catch fire. Gas stations, automobiles, power substations, gas infrastructure. Explosive facilities will explode and amplify the effect of the devastation over a huge area, including areas from Camden to Greenwich and Islington to Wandsworth. According to various estimates, further 450,000 people will die from burns, debris injuries, or radiation sickness, and over 1 million will be traumatized. Many of these injuries could prove fatal over the next days and weeks. Radiation sickness in particular will take lives days and weeks later. In time, about 100,000 more will be added to the death toll. Within an 18-kilometer radius of the blast, the shockwave will be enough to shatter windows, causing additional casualties to people who come to the windows when they see the nuclear blast. The shockwave will reach Hounslow, Edgware, and Enfield. Depending on the wind, the fallout could spread well beyond the immediate blast zone, potentially affecting areas up to 5 to 10 kilometers away, causing damage even in regions such as Essex or Surrey. The estimated casualties in the event of a 750-kiloton nuclear bomb exploding in London would be about 850,000 people dead and about 2 million injured. If the explosion were to occur on the ground rather than in the air, the fallout map would be greatly expanded, and the radioactive fallout could even reach Manchester, infecting people, land, and animals. The problem with a nuclear explosion in London is also that London is essentially not designed to survive such a disaster. 11 of London's 20 major hospitals would be within the blast. The remaining hospitals would be physically unable to cope with the number of victims. Many people are still alive under the rubble of the buildings, suffering burns, but no one will be able to help them. Since the creation of nuclear weapons less than 100 years ago, there have been more than 20 incidents where a nuclear-armed country was one step away from a nuclear catastrophe. You can easily find these statistics on Wikipedia. I will attach a link to this article in the description of the video. I want to call everyone to action. Nuclear weapons are a real threat to our future. Give this video a like and share it so that as many people as possible can learn about its consequences.
So that's what Russian state media is putting out. And they seem pretty serious about it. And they, of course, are armed with hypersonic missiles. We cannot stop, cannot defend against, and can deliver a nuclear payload. Now, this video, I don't think it's worth it necessarily to go to the whole thing, but maybe I'll just retweet it. It's a video comparing speeds of supersonic and hypersonic missiles. And if you can bring up my computer screen, it's, like I said, the whole thing's like 3 minutes long. We just don't have time to play it here. But when you see how fast these things are, I mean, it is impossible to imagine. So you've got, you know, things going Mach 5, and then they're just lapped by these things. Or I guess those were going Mach 4. This is Mach 5. And it gets up to like Mach 30 or something. And, you know, every time you see this thing flying, you think, my God, that's unimaginably fast. And then it zooms out and something flies by that, you know, going the speed of sound. And it just goes on and on. And as you're watching this, you don't know how long the video is. You just keep thinking, there's no way it can get faster. There's no way they've got something faster than that. And then here comes a new device of mass destruction. Zircon Mark 9, the Kinzhal Mark 10. Another thing you notice as you watch this is that, yeah, America's got a couple missiles in the top echelon. But we're quite a bit outclassed by China and Russia in a number of different ways. So Russia is putting out animations showing in excruciating detail just how many people will die if London is hit with a nuclear bomb. They are saying that they're changing the procedure of their, you know, nuclear conflict in order to make their response quicker and more aggressive. They are sending very clear warning signs about this. And the West is either so arrogant that we don't care, or it's sort of in line with what they want anyway, and they think they'll be safe in their bunkers. And actually, maybe we'll go to that video from Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones today, because that's exactly what Alex Jones is talking about in the clip, where he's talking about the bunkers that these people have prepared and are planning on living in, straight up Dr. Strangelove style. Let's go now to clip number 13, because this is Vladimir Putin telling the truth about Western societies and not holding back, as he calls the leaders of these countries vampires. Let's go now to clip number 13. Here is Putin on the degeneracy and stupidity of Western elites. Let's watch.
But the gist of it is different. The gist of it is that the so-called golden billion for centuries, for 500 years, they have practically lived off of other peoples. They were ripping apart these poor peoples, poor nations of Africa. They exploited Latin America. They exploited the countries of Asia. And of course, no one forgets this. And I have a feeling that it's not even about the leaders of these countries, even though it is a very important thing, but the common people of these countries, in their heart, they can feel what's happening. They can see our struggle for our independence, for our true sovereignty. And they see this connection with their aspirations to be truly independent, which is exacerbated by the fact that in the Western elites, there is a strong desire to freeze the current unfair state of things in international affairs. For centuries, they've been stuffing their stomachs with human flesh, and they've been stuffing their pockets with money, but they must realize that this ball of vampires is about to end.
They've been stuffing their bellies with human flesh, but this ball of vampires is about to end. UK is getting dangerously close to full-scale war with Russia. Story at Infowars.com. The entire world should be deeply concerned about UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer wanting to launch long-range missiles into Russia, despite the advice of his own foreign office and that of former UK National Security Advisor. And, of course, they note that the entire Ukraine conflict was about to end due to a mutually acceptable and initially agreed-upon agreement between Russia and Ukraine negotiators on April 1st, 2022. Then former UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson intervened and forced Zelensky to renege on that agreement, assuring him that NATO would supply Ukraine with the weapons needed to militarily defeat Russia, which has proven to be impossible. Now you've got Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania, and Volodymyr Zelensky signing rockets. And actually, let's play that video. If we can. This is clip number 7. Here's Josh Shapiro signing missiles in a Pennsylvania weapons factory. It's the only thing America makes anymore, apparently. Signing his name to something that's going to go kill men for no reason. And my favorite part, perhaps, is that handshake in the background. First of all, Zelensky, creepy little goblin.
Thank you for giving me the missiles to defeat the Russians.
With the handshake. And I don't know who that is behind him. Maybe it was Ron Johnson at first. I can't tell. Some politician. And the handshake. The handshake like they accomplished something. You know? It's like the handshake between the coach and the manager after a big game. Or between the CEO and the salesman after they settle a big account. Right? Well done. Well done. We've done it. Congratulations. No, congratulations to you. We couldn't have done it without you. What have they accomplished? What exactly have they accomplished again? Using other people's money to create weapons for a war with no discernible end, no stated purpose? I really hate them. I really hate them. And it's like what I hate most about politicians. Like, it's one thing if you're just stealing our money for your own pet projects, if you're starting wars that you won't fight in. Like, that's bad enough. But then it's the self-congratulatory attitude. It's the we've achieved great things here kind of attitude that comes across. And like, they've achieved nothing. They've achieved absolutely nothing. like less than, I should say they've achieved less than nothing. Achieving nothing wouldn't kill a million people. And some of the things that didn't get a lot of attention from the debate, but Trump said that it's been millions of people killed. And, you know, he gets the official numbers. He gets the intelligence briefings as presumed or as the candidate for the Republican Party and potential next president. For months, he's been getting, he probably still got them after being president, but he's been getting the, you know, classified intel. And he lets it leak sometimes. So the official account is already astonishingly high, hundreds of thousands dead on both sides. During the debate, Trump says it's millions. He says, you have no idea. He says, you're not getting the real numbers. But it's been millions. So if they did nothing and were self-congratulatory, patting themselves on the back, it would still be absurd. No, they've killed millions, and they're acting like this is something to be proud of. Like they achieved something. Like all of their hard work finally paid off. Just lying and manipulating, using other people's money to fund a boondoggle that's starting World War III, and they're so proud of themselves. They really are. Gateway Pundit has the story along with the video that we just played. World War III is approaching. Pro-Putin channel simulates massive nuclear strike on London. Would, quote, instantly vaporize 850,000 people. Hey, it's less damaging than the migrant crisis. I mean, it'd be easier to get over and easier to repair from than the importation of millions upon millions of hostile foreigners, gangs of rapists. So, hey, you know, maybe this is Putin with a gift to London and England. Maybe this is less of a warning and more of an advertisement. Like, hey, just push us a little farther and you get a clean reset. You get a clean slate. Try again, do over. Because obviously you have failed, Britain. You have failed utterly. Everything is getting worse in every possible way. And maybe that's why war is on the horizon. Speaking of migration, I want to go to clip number 12 now. This is Donald Trump yesterday at a rally of his. Which, say what you want about Trump and I spoke yesterday about the disappointment on his rabid and illogical and nonsensical and politically retarded obsession with Israel. But let's go now to clip number 12, because Donald Trump continues to be one of, if not the only politician on the world stage to actually treat the American people like we are a people and, you know, have a culture and an ethnicity. So let's go now to clip number 12.
But it takes centuries to build the unique character of each state, and we are going to. And you know, when you do that, so the number one rated country is Norway. The number two is like Denmark, and you know, it, on and on it goes. Spend much less money than we do, and they have the finest education. In New York City, a few years ago, with de Blasio, who is one of the worst mayors in history, by the way, he said, we're going to go with the Norwegian system. That didn't work out too well, okay? You know, when they start throwing the teachers out the window, that wasn't working out. They don't do that in Norway. Historically, they haven't thrown too many teachers out the window in Norway. But we're going to make it good. And you know what's going to happen is, out of the 50 states, you're going to have 35, like, different ones. Iowa will do good. A lot of the states will do very good. I can think of probably 30, 35 will be good. And 5 will be okay. 10 will be okay. You'll have 4 or 5 that will be terrible. But that's okay. We have to control it. But you'll have Idaho. You'll have Idaho will do a great job. They, you know, no debt, no this. They run a great state. A lot of places will have great education that can compete with Norway and Denmark and this. But we'll have certain places, and it's the same places like Gavin Newsom, who's a terrible governor. You'll probably have a problem in California. But what you do is you give it to the local communities, and they'll have a great educational system. You don't want to give it to somebody like Kamala, because she destroyed San Francisco and then destroyed the whole state. But reckless migration policy can change it very quickly, and it can destroy everything in its way, just like we've seen in London and Paris and Minneapolis. Look at what's happened in London. Look what's happening in Paris. If Kamala Harris wins this election, she will flood Pennsylvania cities and towns with illegal migrants from all over the world. And Pennsylvania will never be the same. You will never be the same. When I'm president, all migrant flights to Pennsylvania will stop immediately. By the way, all migrant flights. Not only to Pennsylvania, everywhere. No, but how about they get caught? You know, we just found that out a few months ago. They're saying, no, no, we're fighting. In the meantime, people are just pouring in. No, no, we want to do it. And then we learned that the airplanes are flying. That means that, you know, it's just a big con job. Remember this. For a long time, she's been talking about her experience at McDonald's. I worked at McDonald's over the French fries. It was so hot. I think I'm going to go to a McDonald's next week someplace. I'm going to go. Might not be in here, in your place. I'm going to go to a McDonald's, and I'm going to work the French fry job for about a half an hour. I want to see how it is. But she said she worked since she grew up in terrible conditions. She worked at McDonald's. It was such. She never worked there. And these fake news reporters will never report it. They don't want to report it because they're fake. They're fake. They don't want to report it. She never worked at McDonald's, but it was a big part of her resume. They went to the different places. Did she work here? Did she work here? Did she work here?
For real. Pennsylvania, she said, we don't know, of course, ground zero, along with Ohio and Colorado. There's a lot of these states where they're deliberately dumping hundreds of thousands of migrants. And it seems to me like they're making a gamble. You know, part of what their agenda is to demographically remake America, specifically by targeting small towns, red states, states with, you know, a lack of diversity, a.k.a. a lot of white people. And they want to demographically replace and electorally overwhelm the people there. We said again, you know, what happens when you send 20,000 Haitians to a district with 50,000 people? You essentially make it a Haitian district. Because if there's one thing that's proven true over and over again, it's that ethnic blocks imported into America, put in one single congressional district, they all vote together for their people to represent their interests. So you are stealing these people's birthright to have a say in their country. But the gamble is that the overwhelming number of migrants will be able to vote illegally, or at least contribute and participate and affect the electoral outcome. The gamble is that that's going to be more effective than the outrage, fury, anger, and suffering that it causes, which is going to cause everybody to vote for Trump and deport everybody. So it's a risk here, and the risk will not pay off if the people in Ohio and Pennsylvania and elsewhere recognize, oh, these migrants are an attack on me, I should not vote for the people sending them to destroy me. I hope we can make that decision.
An InfoWars fan favorite is now back in stock after over a year of not being available. It is the vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. Now, this is a copy of Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize for his findings on vitamin C's formula. It is 1,000 milligrams of organic vitamin C with zinc to take it into the cells, and rose hips, he believed that supercharged it. This formula is amazing. We've not had it for over 12 months, and now it's available back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. It is simply incredible. What it does for your whole body, your immune system, is next level. So whether you're in super good health or not in good health, everybody benefits from this formula. It's back in stock, discounted at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin C and zinc with rose hips at InfoWarsStore.com. And it funds the operation. So that's a win-win. Get your vitamin C with zinc, the Linus Pauling formula, at InfoWarsStore.com.
Turmeric has been used as a medicine for thousands of years. to treat digestive disorders, respiratory problems, arthritis, and depression. It has strong anti-cancer, anti-diabetic, antimicrobial, and antioxidant properties, and is one of the most effective anti-inflammatory medications available. The powerful Bodies formula at InfoWarsStore.com includes 95% curcuminoids, Boswellia serrata extract, organic sage leaf, organic lemon balm leaf, organic thyme leaf, and piperine from black pepper. Bodies is arguably the best turmeric formula available. Get it now. Support free speech and support the InfoWar at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
After somehow triggering pagers, radios, mobile phones, and solar panels to indiscriminately explode in public places within Lebanon, more innocent lives have been cut short by the terrorist state of Israel.
This is a heinous act of terrorism. We understand perfectly well that with such actions they are trying to bring the region to a global confrontation, to strike children, civilians, women, in order to stir up public sentiment and set the Middle East on fire so that it's all in flames. But there is another important point. This is a terrorist attack that obviously could not have been carried out by a suicidal loner or just a suicide bomber or someone in a state of complete madness. This is a terrorist attack planned with a cool hand, an extensively planned one. All the signs are there of an international terrorist attack, because it is obvious that in order to gather such a large amount of equipment, it had to be brought in crossing several borders. Obviously, there is an international trail in this, and it should be investigated accordingly. Now the reaction of the West should be indicative. If the West remains silent and, as always, does not insist on an investigation, does not talk about human rights, does not repeat its rhetoric of many years, which they have used in similar cases when terrorist acts were committed on their territory, then this will be proof of their direct engagement.
While the majority of the world cries out for an end to this maniacal bloodshed, in America, the political left, the religious right, and the brainwashed masses are all in. It seems like Americans just can't get enough war. As Ukraine attacks deep in Russia, Israel has now begun heavy bombing in Lebanon, which signals the beginning of something much bigger.
Is this the beginning of a major regional confrontation between Lebanon and its allies and Israel?
I think so. The Israelis have said that the reason they initiated this cyber attack, probably one of the largest in history, was because the Arabs were beginning to catch on. In other words, people in Hezbollah and in Lebanon and probably the Iranians had begun to figure out or at least detect that something like this could happen. And so they felt that they had to initiate it quickly in order to derive some benefit from it. I think the issue right now is not whether or not we're going to support them. We've made it very clear that if they go into Lebanon and this war widens, that we will support them. So I don't think there's much question there. The problem is, how long can we keep all the ships at sea? And I think we're going to see this offensive into Lebanon start fairly quickly now, because we're telling Mr. Netanyahu, we can't sit around waiting for you to do something. So if you're going to do something, you'd better do it quickly, because we can't be out here much longer. But no, we're going to support the Israelis. There's no question about that. And I think they all know that if they back away from their original goals, which is to essentially eliminate the Arab populations in the West Bank and Gaza, that's really where they want to go, and now in southern Lebanon, that they're going to have to accept something else. So I think the Israeli government, the Israeli people, the Israeli Defense Force, everyone is in the same boat. It's either we win or we go down with the ship, which is a terrible position to be in. And no one in Washington seems to be interested in helping them out. I mean, we think we're helping them by giving them anything they want. In fact, we've put them on a road to suicide, in my judgment.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Congratulations from Greg Reese. U.S. state-sponsored terrorism. Find and share that video at band.video and InfoWars.com. I will be joined by Amanda Oleweiler on the other side. She is a parent who has fired, who has filed the first ever civil rights lawsuit against Gettysburg College for anti-white discrimination, a problem that is becoming very apparent in this country with no solutions proposed.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI is now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
American Journal. I'll be joined very shortly by my guest, Amanda Oleweiler. Talk about anti-white discrimination on colleges, college campuses, and beyond. I do want to ask you to go to InfoWarsStore.com to support all of the incredible stuff that InfoWars comes out with, from band.video to InfoWars.com, all the great content creators, all the great shows, all the great in-life, in-real-life events. All of it is brought to you entirely by you at InfoWarsStore.com. If you're a new viewer, let me reemphasize that for you. We don't have sponsors. We don't take money from Big Pharma, Big Ag. We don't take money from giant corporations. We picked up a few sponsors in the last, like, month or so to do, you know, things like design T-shirts and do the raffle with the truck. But that's very new to us, and it still represents a very small percentage of what we bring in. And for the entirety of InfoWars' existence, our ability to broadcast this information has come entirely from the InfoWars audience going to InfoWarsStore.com. And one of the complaints that we've gotten in the past, that we have too many commercial breaks, but we've gotten rid of, like, all of our commercial breaks. So when it used to be, we'd do a five-minute segment and then a little commercial break and then a 10-minute segment, then a little commercial break, then da, da, da. Now it's 1 5-minute segment at the beginning, and then a big chunk for half the hour, and a big chunk for the second half of the hour, with 2 commercial breaks per hour. Don't make us regret that. Help us, won't you, by going to InfoWarsStore.com and guarantee that we will be able to remain commercial-free and still on the air and in the fight. And with that, I'm very, very happy to welcome my guest, Amanda Oleweiler. She's a parent who's filed the first civil rights lawsuit against Gettysburg College for anti-white discrimination. Thanks so much for joining us today, Amanda.
Thank you so much, Harrison, for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you. I'm sorry that you're having to do this, but I'm glad you are standing up against this discrimination. And if I have the story correct, it's on behalf of your son, right? Will you tell us about this lawsuit and what exactly has led up to you filing it?
Oh, yeah, sure. Our son was a minor when he started attending Gettysburg College. And it was actually during the COVID where they were masked and locked down and eating meals alone in their room, just let out for class, you know, which is a little bit hard, first of all, being isolated. But when you do get out and go to class, to being told by your professor, your physics professor, that she doesn't like seeing so many white males in her class, that white males are generic and unnecessary. And then that's the message. And anytime you try to participate in class, you're mocked. It got so bad that he called us and said he wanted to leave, pretty much flee the college and go join the Navy. And my husband and I ended up, we went to the naval recruiter and had to sign for him because he was a minor. So, I mean, that's how serious it was. So he had another professor step in and say, look, you can just get through this class. It will get better. So he decided to stay and just try to get through that lady's class. And we decided to file a bias incident report also. So, you know, we're trying to follow the policies, procedures. We're looking, you know, part of this college is just advertises that they're inclusive, you know, they don't discriminate, all of that. And so we're trying to reconcile this. We file the bias incident report. We do our end. Then the school reaches out to the professor, and the professor does not want to cooperate. Next, won't give them an interview. Next thing we know, she takes sabbatical. And the school keeps trying to reach out to her. Well, they reach out to her when I ask them, have you finished this bias incident report yet? Well, you know, we're trying to reach her. She's very difficult. So this went on for a while. And after months of inaction, we said, we're going public. I mean, this needs to be looked into. And so we did. We went public. And then once we did, they finished the bias incident report. The professor became cooperative. The DEI lady, who really should have been solicitous of us, trying to talk to us, supporting us, sat in with the professor and supported her. Meanwhile, my son was a minor. He was a minority on campus as a male. This was publicly witnessed. And the professor admitted during the bias incident report, when she finally cooperated, admitted to singling out white males. And we were left on our own. So what happened was they finally finished the bias incident report and they investigated themselves and they found themselves innocent. 1 month later, after that, they were on the news and international news again for doing it again. They were hosting a weekend where you can come and paint and draw about how tired you are of white cis males.
Right.
Invited people on the campus to do that. And then when you did it, they were going to hang the results in the cafeteria so all the white males could see how much they were hated while they were trying to eat their meals. So this what happened is because we went public with it, we ended up getting a lawyer. The lawyer was willing to represent us privately. And what happened was when we tried to say, hey, well, if you ruined this first year, there needs to be some compensation for this. Something very reasonable. What they did was they said, oh, well, you know, we need some time. We're kind of busy. Can't really deal with this right now. Well, that whole thing was about just waiting till his grades were released. And then once his grades were released, they yanked his scholarship and used it as a bartering tool and said, and what they did was they gave me a document, an 11-page document to sign. I had 24 hours to sign it or my son was going to lose his scholarship. And I had to choose. I had to choose to, you know, after all that he'd just been through. Well, you know, do I want to show him that now they're going to take away his scholarship? Or do I need to just sign this? And so he can have a scholarship. He's already back on campus.
What was the thing? What was the thing they wanted you to sign? I mean, was it a thing saying that you wouldn't sue them, or
that yes, and that I wasn't allowed to basically signing my First Amendment rights away.
Right, NDA.
And the reason I know this now, first of all, you can't give somebody a document. You can't give them 24 hours to sign it. And if you don't, the statute of limitations expires, and then we get nothing, nothing. It loses a scholarship, loses any chance of justice. So what do? Your back's against the wall, and you're thinking, well, my son was just through hell. Do I want him to go through further hell, or do I just want to try to put this behind me and hope they're going to correct course? That this was really horrible. Maybe they just overshot. Maybe they're going to try harder. So that was my hope. So that was silly of me, because after we signed and after he was back on campus, the harassment got, and the retaliation for us filling out of our citizen report, for us standing up to the hate, for us going public because they wouldn't follow their own policies and procedures. It just increased tenfold. There was an article put in the Gettysburgian, which is the campus paper. And in that article, the chair of the physics department, Dr. Brett Crawford, discussed the bias incident report, gave his private opinion, and put it out there for the entire campus, defending Dr. Jacqueline Malingo, how she would never do this, even though she admitted doing it in the bias incident report. She would never do this. And that, and this is a quote, the slander statements against her should not go unanswered, unquote. So you put that article in the campus paper where his other professors read it. All the students on campus read it. It is then blasted to social media, a couple different sites. I mean, it was already a hostile environment. What do you think happened then? It got worse. And then the campus police started being discharged to his fraternity house every day, multiple times a day, week after week, for inspections. Surveillance cameras were put up all around his fraternity, plus one inside. There had been a broken door in his fraternity house that had been ill repair for years. They had decided, well, nope, now everybody that lived in that house was going to have to pay for that. So the inspections got so bad, and the president of the fraternity had tried to reach out to administration and was getting nowhere, that he finally broke down and told the brothers, you got to call your parents. I can't get them to stop. And it was only once the parents stepped in that administration backed off. And I want to know who ordered those inspections. And the president of the university, Mr. Robert Giuliano, who was a chief lawyer at Harvard for decades, was in charge of a police force there. He had his own police force he was in charge of. So I am very interested in asking the campus police. There's a couple names there that, see if I have them. Lieutenant Cadell Kraft and Sergeant Chad Newland. I want to know who gave the order for those inspections that made the environment so horrible. I don't understand how you would study in that kind of environment when somebody's knocking at your door multiple times a day. And then what happened in the winter semester? My son was on the dance floor at his fraternity. Somebody, a third party, dared somebody to punch my son in the gut as hard as they could. My son did not know that was coming. Sorry. This is hard. He fell to the ground. Had to be carried to his bed. And his brothers had to take care of him a couple days. And he called his dad in the middle of the night. He was in so much pain. Said, I can't move. And He had to leave winter semester early and come home so his dad's physician, check him for a ruptured spleen. So I reached out to the lawyers for their school, and I said, would you take that article down, please? I feel like it's not good to have that article up where you're asking for the slander statements to go unanswered, to not go unanswered. And this response, I'll never forget, the response was no. And if you ask, and even just for asking us, we can sue you. And I thought, oh, you know, this isn't just people who are just like too busy or, you know, had any goodwill with this DEI. This is a malicious philosophy of, you know, I call it die. I call it divides. It indoctrinates. And then that E is for enriches the few at the top. And then I'm like tracing up the top of the board, and I see the chief lawyer for Bill and Melinda Gates. I see ex-military JAG from the Army, who, you know, she's a lawyer. She's a master in law. I'm assuming they're involved in a lawsuit now. I'm assuming that the president is sharing what's going on with the board members. There's like 30 some board members, and I can't for the life of me, when they have these law degrees and they see all these, you know, that they're breaking the law repeatedly, and they see these suicide statistics of 50 attempted suicides in 1 year. And that was the year before my son started attending the school. And to the best of my knowledge, there was no consulting group brought in about that. You know, hey, we got these shocking statistics so bad that the leader of the health department there went to the faculty, and she said, I had to double check these statistics. They are so alarming that I had to double check them. And I am coming to you, the faculty, to let you know about these statistics. And I am telling you to be mindful and to watch. The faculty getting all this. And then this is what they do. This is what they're doing. They're telling people they're basically worthless. And then when you try to follow their policies and procedures, you know, I'm following the book. I'm doing everything by the book, and the book is saying the correct things, but the people in power are not following the book and the laws. And then when they said, no, we're not taking that article down, and if you ask us, we're going to sue you. And then I just knew this is just a ruse. This is just a ruse. They don't care about bringing people together. And they just want to tell you, you're this color, therefore you believe this way, and you're this color, and therefore you believe this way. And you know, since you're this color, you need to hate yourself. And since you're this color, you need to pity yourself. And it's such a mockery to me of the golden rule, where you love your neighbor as yourself. I knew this was just malice. This was malice. And I knew, the crazy thing is, I didn't even file this lawsuit until the eve of my son's graduation, because I was so scared for his safety. And then right before he graduated, of course, his senior year, they have advisory. One of the main reasons you go to college is to get a career. I mean, to learn in a conducive environment, which he didn't get for 4 years. And then the next thing is to get a career afterwards with the networks, the referrals, the guidance. So he walked in. His new advisor he was assigned was the chair of the physics department, Dr. Brett Crawford, the same guy who had that article in the campus paper. And my son walked in after enduring 4 years of this. And I don't know how he survived it, but he asked, you know, he's a physics major. He loves finance. He asked him for direction. And this professor said, I have nothing for you. And the other quote was, I can't help you. And he sent my son away. So 4 years of discrimination and abuse. And then that wasn't quite enough. They were going to destroy his future, too. So he graduated, thankfully. I wrote a letter to that professor, and I said, look, you know, we're aware of this article in the paper. We're aware he's taking his last class from you before he graduates. You know, we really want to make sure, you know, that there, you know, there's not going to be any like hanky panky with his grades or anything. Anyway, so he graduated, and got him off campus, filed the lawsuit, and he is doing physics major, loves finance, he's doing door-to-door sales because, and it's a job he found on his own, nothing to do with what he went to college for. So, I mean, that's what he's endured. And so I have been in this battle. We are now going on 5 years, and I have approached that college, and I have said, look, all I'm asking is treat people equally. You know, we have constitutional rights, and there needs to be a little restorative justice here for what the hell you put my son through. They will not meet me. They just keep threatening me, to sue me, intimidation tactics. I mean, sort of the same thing they put him through. And I reached out to them again right before we met with the judge, and I said, do you want to try to work this out? Nope. And they threatened to sue me. So I reached out to them one more time before I was going to go public again. Do you want to try to reach something, some agreement? Nope. We're going to sue you. So here I am. They don't want to correct course. They don't want to stop what they're doing. And again, like I said, I cannot believe all those board members. They have to have a copy of the lawsuit. They have to have a copy of all the evidence, the links, the witnesses, everything. And not one of them said, and their lawyers on there, not one of them said, you know, this is bad. You know, we're screwing up. We need to do something about this. Nobody.
They think discrimination against white men, especially Christian white men, is good and justified, and they're acting righteously. I don't even need to say, but like you can only imagine if even one tiny portion of this had been applied to a black student at an all, you know, white school, you know, being told, you know, you're generic and we don't want your input. I mean, just a clear cut case of discrimination. And of course, in that instance, they would have the NAACP and they would have the NCAA, and it's everybody's anybody would be coming out. It'd be stories across the entire. It would be a giant scandal. The president of the university would resign. It'd be congressmen demanding testimony. But you get absolutely no support. And I'm going to have you back on the other side of this commercial break. We're going to take a brief commercial break. But in the last minute, where is the case now, and how can people help you? Because we need to come together and stop this from happening. So how can people rally around you and help you in this case?
Oh, thank you for asking, because I've had so many people reach out. But I do. I have this Give, Send, Go fund because they wiped out my bank account. And so everything I'm doing is on my own. So that would be great if they could go to the Give, Send, Go. And an important part of that is I have a prayer on there, because this malice is so deep and so systemic. We need God's help. I'm a Christian, and we need God's help. I would really encourage the people of Gettysburg. I don't know if you've ever been to that town, but it is a special town. It's a special town, and I almost feel like it's, I mean, we have thousands of buried soldiers there.
Right.
Who spilled their blood trying to bring the North and South back together. This cannot be Gettysburg's legacy. So you've got a great people there. You've got small business owners. You have a city council. You have a mayor who need to stand up and say, enough is enough. Like, I'm the first mom who's saying this, enough is enough. And I'm the first one bringing this anti-white discrimination lawsuit. But it is enough. We see the results of this. What more do we need to see? It is dividing people. So I would encourage also the alumni. That school needs leadership change. And I would say to the students, do not get discouraged. It is a great time to be right there right now. You can be the change.
You can actually make a positive change. That's exactly right. From the alumni to the fraternities to the legal representation. More on the other side with Amanda Ohlweiler. We'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
The eugenicists, over 100 years ago, were very public about their plans. They financed major universities. They ran full-page stories and advertisements pushing their propaganda in the New York Times, other major newspapers, that the family as we know it is a bad thing and must be ended. And the first step in that is getting women out of the household and teaching women that cooking dinner and taking care of your sons and daughters and husbands is a bad thing. And I was just sitting here tonight making dinner for my daughter, my 4.5-year-old daughter. My wife makes dinner a lot of times, but I like to make it as well. I love to make breakfast. And literally, it's the funnest thing on earth to make food for your family and be nutritive and then all sit down together and have the communal event. And that's what the system is attacking and bombarding, is our normal biological actions are coming together. They really are sick, evil, scientific cult of filth that want to domesticate us and turn us into lab rats. We cannot let this continue.
Please listen closely, because this is life-changing critical information. The globalists are bombarding us with toxic chemicals hitting us in the air, the water, the food, the 5G, the poison shots, the shedding, the GMO, all of it. But God's given us compounds through nature that do incredible things in our body. And one of the most important, if not the most important, is vitamin B12. We've got the best organic vitamin B12, Ultra 12, a bestseller finally back in stock after close to a year being sold out. You take it under the tongue for better absorption, and it's 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now. Get your Ultra 12 and other great products for 40% off. Some products are even more, and it keeps the show on the air. That is a 360 win. The only way you lose is not taking action. I thank you all for your support, being part of this fight. Now go to InfoWarsStore.com right now. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a war against the globalist, and people can't identify who's a patriot and who isn't. We want to identify as pro-human and anti-globalist. We want to let people know we're 1776 Part 2. That's why I designed this amazing 1776 red, white, and blue Gadsden flag shirt, so you can support the InfoWar and meet like-minded people everywhere when you wear it. When you wear these shirts, it creates an amazing amount of energy, and it's quite the adventure. So get your 1776 shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com, and get your Team Humanity InfoWars limited edition shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is antithetical, the complete opposite of what the globalists are pushing. So get both the Team Humanity and the 1776 Gadsden Snake Shirts limited edition at InfoWarsStore.com right now. Spread the word, meet like-minded people, and fund the 1776 revolution worldwide.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. My guest is Amanda Ohlweiler, and she is a parent who has filed the first ever civil rights lawsuit for anti-white discrimination at Gettysburg College in Pennsylvania. You can follow her on X at CatholicGal7. And you can support her GiveSend Go to pay for some of the legal fees. And it's just so typical, Amanda, that I notice on your GiveSend go to, you say it's pretty hard to find a lawyer who will represent a white male these days. Like, the discrimination is so constant and it's everywhere. It's ubiquitous at this point. Mm-hmm. And somebody has to stand up against this. And I hadn't really heard your story before, and just hearing you lay it all out like that, like, I knew a little bit about it, but I had no idea the level of intimidation that you were facing, discrimination, of course, but a total lack of support from the administration, who, of course, side with the teacher. So just to lay out the timeline again, it's sort of the height of COVID. You're the kids at Gettysburg College, which is in Pennsylvania, right near this historic, sacred battle field. Your son is in a class where a teacher is openly discriminating against him, openly antagonizing him because of his race, saying things about white males that are purposefully, deliberately insulting, excluding him from, you know, the class conversation on the basis of his race openly. You bring this up to the administration. They drag their feet. They don't really do anything about it. They sort of side with the teacher at the end of the day. She goes on sabbatical. They give her a paid vacation, I guess. You file a bias report. Nothing comes of it. Then they come to you with an ultimatum saying, you either sign this document saying you're going to drop all of this, or we take the scholarship away from your son. We ruin your son's life, kick him out of class, and you know, deprive him of his rights as a student. Just utterly brutal, just brutal behavior. Then, doesn't in there, the head of the physics department writes an article in the school paper saying that the slander of you complaining about the open discrimination of your son should not go unanswered. Your son is assaulted by a sucker punch to the gut, which, by the way, can kill you. I don't know if anybody listening has ever been punched in the gut, but like, it's like a little kid can punch you in the stomach and it can knock you out if you're not ready for it and don't know it's coming. So that's just, again, just utterly brutal. And then the frat house where your son is a member is daily being inspected by the police for some uncertain reason. And I think during your laying out of this timeline, you said at one point you were hoping that, okay, maybe if I just sign this paper, they've gotten the message, they'll correct this. And I think that's something that everybody needs to learn. I'm sure you've learned this. They will never correct themselves. They will never recognize that what they're doing is wrong. They'll never admit that discrimination against white men is also a problem, just like discrimination against anybody. They will never do this on their own volition. They have to be held to account by outside forces. They have to come under pressure from a large-scale public or legal campaign to get, you know, recompense for what you've been through. So, you know, obviously, I think we need organizations that can stand up against this. We need to change the conversation about this. I'm so glad that you're spearheading this effort. Obviously, you're not getting a lot of help from legally. I don't know if there can be organizations to, you know, support the plight of white kids in school right now. But just to lay this out, and there's so many aspects of this that I want to get into. But at this point, there are more. There's a greater percentage of black women graduating high school. Here's the actual facts. Black women are seizing educational opportunities long denied to them, and on some fronts they've overtaken white men. Black girls are more likely than white boys to have graduated from high school. Young black women aged 18 to 24 are more likely than young white men to be enrolled in college, and a higher proportion of black women aged 25 to 29 hold postgraduate degrees than white men of the same age. So, you know, everything that they're doing to your son is, of course, predicated on overcoming bias and bringing about equality. The fact is, white young men are the most disadvantaged in this country today, and nobody stands up for them. They laugh at you, mock you, and threaten to sue you if you point out the discrimination that they're under. So where is this lawsuit in the process of, has it been filed? Have they responded? Like, where in the process is this case at this point? And again, if you give us just the name of the Give, Send, Go, so that, you know, people can go in and help you shoulder this cost, which you shouldn't have to be bearing at all, but certainly is a is, you know, the costs themselves will be a barrier to you getting justice. So I hope we can help you to overcome that barrier. So where exactly in the process is the case right now?
Okay, it has been filed. It was filed in federal court in Harrisburg. And the judge gave me 45 days to find a lawyer. She said I couldn't file pro se on behalf of my son, even though he had been a minor when it started. You know, when I had called, and I always say this is a conservative number, 50 plus lawyers. And none of them said you don't have a case. But, you know, one would say, well, you know, you're not really the right color. Right. And I think also they feel like they'd have to put so much time in it, one lawyer said, and that there would be so little return. But I also feel like I would call civil rights lawyers and they would say that's outside of our scope. There's a lot of people, lawyers, who just don't represent white males for civil rights violations. They focus on prisoners or police brutality. But so where we are with the lawsuit is the judge gave me, I just filed my first motion and she gave me a 2-week extension to either amend the lawsuit or find a lawyer. So I'm doing both. I'm still trying to find a lawyer, still calling around, and I'm also going to amend the lawsuit where I'm not filing on behalf of my son. So it's going to be split into two lawsuits now. So that's where I am, and I'm just going to keep going. And this is so important. And I want to ask your listeners, too, that Senator Mastriano had invited me to speak in front of the Pennsylvania Senate, and I would like him to hold to that promise. And if, you know, people could call his office and say, let her speak, because I'm not sure if he's getting pressure from somewhere else. But I would like to testify in front of the Pennsylvania Senate, as I was invited to do so.
So what happened? Did he rescind the invitation?
Well, it's being downsized to a roundtable discussion or something. I couldn't quite. They said it's the same thing as being testifying, but you're not going to be sworn in. And I really want the original offer,
right,
testifying in front of the Senate, which that was the original offer. That's what needs to be done. So I would really like him to keep his promise there. And,
I'm sorry, tell me his name again. So, or tell the audience his name again.
Senator Mastriano.
Senator Mastriano. Yeah. I mean, look, like I said, they're not going to change, and they're not going to change without a lot of pressure because, as you point out, not only are there no organizations that exist to support your son compared especially to the just dozens of organizations that would come crawling out of the woodwork if anything even remotely similar to this happened to anybody but a white male, right? There'd be women's groups, there'd be black groups, there'd be Hispanic groups, there'd be Asian groups. I mean, everybody else has. White people don't, obviously. And in fact, what we have instead is that there are groups that will go out of their way and will spend their resources to stop you from, you know, bringing this to court, to intervene, to put pressure on the senator to stop you from talking about this. So not only are white men in this country, which, you know, highest suicide rate by far, and I want to ask you about that stat as well, because you said that in the first segment, and that blew my mind. Let me just ask you that right now. 50 suicides or suicide attempts on Gettysburg campus alone
in
a single year?
Yes. And it's a small school.
That's insane. I mean, that is wild. I remember when my wife was going to University of Texas, I think one kid jumped off the you know, parking garage, and it was like a giant thing. And for all 4 years, I mean, like, everybody still remembers that. 50 suicide attempts in a single year in a college of a couple thousand. I mean, how many people does it have? 3,000 people in this college?
I think it's roughly 2,500.
50 suicide attempts. That is a crisis.
It is. And there should be some kind of consulting group brought in, and they need to look at this DEI stuff too, and they need to figure out what's going on. And one of the other reasons, I'm not just doing this for my son, you ask any mom, when you become a mom, you just have a heart for everybody's child. And you can't just leave other people. My son's gone now, but you need to stand up for others. And so that's what I'm doing. So,
like I said, I mean, they can't get away with this. They can't. I mean, you've got the newspaper writing articles saying this, first of all, that your claims of discrimination, even though they're admitted, they call them slander, which in and of itself is slander or libel. Like that alone, you'd probably have a case there for defamation of some sort. When the person says, yes, I discriminated against them because they're a white male, and you say they discriminated against me because I'm a white male, and somebody else says, you're slandering this poor woman, this cannot stand. What was it? It can't go unanswered. I mean, that's a call to violence. It's called a vigilantism. And of course, your son, you know, suffered from that. And, you know, thankfully, it sounds like he was okay after being punched in the gut. But again, I mean, ruptured spleen would be one thing that could happen, but any variety of problems could come about from that. And again, the psychological torture that they're putting your son through, they cannot get away with this, and they will keep getting away with it if, you know, I'm sure there are hundreds of stories like your son. Maybe not everybody like took it as far. Most of the time, probably it's this weird sort of white. It is sort of a white, like an inversion of white supremacy, where like white people think like it's okay to be discriminated against because like, well, we're white, so like it's actually fine. We don't need to worry about it. But like, no, you're not special. You're not immune to discrimination. You're not like, just because you're white doesn't mean you can't suffer. Like that's an insane position. So who knows how many hundreds of kids have suffered like this. And if they can overwhelm each and every parent with the administration and the, you know, highfalutin lawyers that get involved to intimidate them, I'm sure other people have thought about bringing cases and been backed down and intimidated. I'm so glad that you're not, which is why I really, really do want our audience to support you. And I want to start reaching out to lawyers that could help you. I think it's shameful the lawyers in this country won't stand up against an obvious, blatant violation of our civil rights laws. I also wonder, you know, who's a alma mater, whose alma mater this is Ron Paul. I wonder if Ron Paul would be interested in the fact that his old alma mater is openly discriminating and calling for violence against white men at his old school, at the historic ground of Gettysburg. I mean, it's insane that this has gone on for so long, and it cannot go on for much longer. So I understand where you are in the case now. Is this something that you were even aware of before it happened to your son, or was this like a shock to you personally experiencing this? How did that process go?
No, I knew it was there. I did not know to this degree. I didn't know. I mean, you think there's some people there that are maybe just not, they have maybe goodwill, and it sounds so nice on the surface. Oh, let's include everybody, because they got to make it sound nice. Because otherwise, people, if they really looked at the fine print, they would say, this is horrific. This is dividing us. This is categorizing us like cattle. This is saying you have to hate yourself. And if people look different, and if they look different from you, then you have to pity them. Every human being wants to be just treated with respect and kindness. I mean, it's that simple. It's truly that simple. And this whole thing, it's a ruse. And there's people getting rich off of it. The rich are getting richer. And it, you can trace it. Like I said, it's millionaires and billionaires at the top. And somehow their millions and billions aren't enough. They want that $5 out of your pocket. Mm. And the way they do that is by dividing us, having us fighting. And I really feel like hate and fear they enslave you. And you're enslaved, then you're not a threat to them. So I would just, you know, I don't want to preach, but I just want to tell people that, you know, just return to just treating everybody with respect and kindness. You know, be grateful for who you are and your family and your ethnicity and where you came from and what people before you did. I mean, and don't let anybody take that from you. Everybody has a little bit of good, a little bit of bad. And we strive always to just have goodwill towards each other and to respect each other and be kind to each other. But don't let them put you in categories and like a Crayola crown box. You're this color, so you're this, and you're that color, so you're that. You know, it's so silly if you really look through it. So I would just encourage people to fight back against this. It's hatred. It's malice. It's fear. And we're better than this. We are so better than this as Americans. I mean, Gettysburg. I mean, look at Gettysburg. They brought the North and South back together. This is a time where Gettysburg College could turn this whole thing around, and they could be the light to other campuses now. And they could say, we're not going to do this. We're just going to treat everybody equally. We're going to treat everybody with respect and kindness and have the same standard straight across. And other colleges would say, my goodness, this is going on in Gettysburg.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we should do this too.
Or, you know, maybe we should watch out because, you know, I would love to see you own Gettysburg by the end of this. Honestly, the treatment that you've described towards your son from the administration, from the college campus police. You say Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation's chief lawyer is involved in this. Can you explain that again? Because there's so many aspects of this. That's just like, wait, 50 suicides a year and Bill and Melinda Gates lawyer. Like, this is really a mind bending saga you've been through here. And again, I'm sorry we haven't had you on before. I'm sorry this is the first we're hearing about. I'm so glad that you're going public with it now, but how is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation tied up into this again?
Yeah, so the chair of the board at Gettysburg College is the chief lawyer for Bill and Melinda Gates.
Hmm.
And, you know, when we first started this, when we first started this 4 years ago, the chair was the ex-CEO of AstraZeneca. Once we came public, he was out, and then she was bumped to the top. So you've got big corporations here sitting on the board, big corporations, big money. And this is what I'm up against. I'm up against, like I said, Harvard and they're all lawyers. They have their masters, ex-military, and they know better. I think they know better.
No, they know, they know exactly what they're doing though. That's the issue is. Like, I feel like so often we approach this with like, wow, these people must be crazy or like, don't they know that?
Yeah.
But they know exactly what they're doing. And in a way, it's this projection where, you know, they look back, I don't know, to 70 years ago or something. And they're like, oh, black people weren't able to sit at the same lunch counter. Therefore, today I should just demonize a white man. This poster that you posted, the P&J Senior Project from Gettysburg College, tired of cis white men, come paint and write about it. And then they're going to hang these paintings inspired by the hatred of white men all around the college campus just to remind white guys how hated they are. And, you know, obviously this is posted with classic statement, like, imagine the outrage if this was any other group. But, like, why are white people not outraged? This is what I don't get. You don't have to have nobody has to give you permission to be outraged by this. Everybody should be outraged. If there was a official college event that was tired of black guys, come write about how much you hate black people and we'll hang it up on the. You think black people would like that? You think they'd be kind of mad? Like, of course they'd be mad. They'd be right to be mad. White people should be mad about this. They should not. We should not take this. Shouldn't take it lying down, shouldn't allow this to happen. And in a lot of ways, I feel like it's kind of white people's fault for like not taking this seriously. And again, it's almost like this like weird inverted white supremacy where it's like, are the blacks angry at us? Oh, poor blacks. Like they can't actually hurt us or anything. They can't actually discriminate against us because we're so great and powerful. So you discriminate all you want, sweetie. And it's like, no, you weirdos. White people can be destroyed. White people can be discriminated against. White individuals like your son can have their lives utterly destroyed. I didn't even mention the fact that the guy who wrote the article calling for retribution for your son complaining about being discriminated against was your son's career counselor as he graduated and refused to help him get a job or even understand the job market, deliberately like crushing, like hobbling his entire future and career aspects. These people are brutal and vicious, and nobody should stand for it. And I'm so glad that you're actually doing something here. So it gives givesendgo.com. What is the title of the GiveSendGo so I can send people to it?
Stop anti-white discrimination on campus.
Ending anti-white discrimination on campus by Amanda Ohlweiler.
Yeah.
I really encourage people to go contribute to this because honestly, I mean, we need national organizations who will not let this pass. I just think back to examples I've heard where, you know, there was some college in Virginia years ago where they just like were doing a lesson on slavery and were like, all right, some kids are going to play slaves and some are going to play masters. And the NAACP came into town and the ADL was there and it was a pressure. And they eventually forced the entire school district to like hire a firm to come in and do a full scale investigation and give them, you know, they created a whole board, the inclusivity board that then had ultimate power to hire and fire people. Like they got massive systemic change because of this, like kind of insulting, potentially mismanagement of a school lesson. Like that's what we need. That's what we need. We need anybody who discriminates against white people need to know that like legions of millionaire white people are going to come and force them to change. So we don't even get to this point. That's my take, but I'm just sort of going off here because this is so infuriating and I'm just glad you're actually standing up against it. So, I'm sorry. What's your take on that? Now that I've vented my spleen a little bit,
I just wanted to say part of this process. You know, when I first started, they're like, "Well, he's the wrong color," and I was like, "Okay, so this group of people special." Mm. The year later, when the anti-Semitism started, and then the politicians who I had spoken to were all of a sudden on board with, you know, calling out the anti-Semitism and everything. And I was like, wait, I thought this group was the special people. Oh, no. They were yet last year's special people. We have a new group of special people now. And I mean, they threw the old specials out like yesterday's trash.
Right.
So when you're a special group, believe me, you might get to ride it for a little bit. But when the politicians and those in power can't use you anymore, they toss you away. That's why the law is supposed to apply equally to everybody. I mean, because if you're special, you might not be special tomorrow, according to the people in charge.
Right.
So you're kind of getting used when you're being, quote, special. So we need to apply the law equally, which the Constitution states. And then, you know, stop all this. This group needs special things and that group needs equal.
It's so far out of whack. It's so inverted. It's so insane. Again, it would be one thing if like black people were treated poorly and white people were treated poorly, but only one group got, you know, recompense while the other was. But no, every other group gets coddled. Every other group has collective interests with power to exert, which is why, you know, the people that allowed protests on their campus were removed from positions as president of the university, because Jews are allowed to have collective power that they can wield to advance their interests. White people are denied that right. And even when there is blatant, deliberate discrimination against white people, our elected representatives will bury their head in their sand and say, not you. You don't get the benefit of living under our laws and having civil rights.
Yes.
This has to stop. It has to end. I really hope that your lawsuit is successful and helps to get this ball rolling. Amanda Ohlweiler on X at CatholicGal7, and you can find her lawsuit and contribute to it at GiveSendGo. And we got to make an example of Gettysburg, and what a symbolic place to do so. Thank you for joining us, Amanda.
Thank you, Harrison.
Stay tuned, folks. Alex Jones, 90 seconds.
Nitric Boost. Turmeric 95. High-quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Body's, but we have Turmeric 95. That is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWarsMD at InfoWarsStore.com.
Let me take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra is now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.